B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everybody. Best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Ricky Bowe with up in Connecticut with family. Lot to get to today during this holiday season, so let's get right to the opening statements. We start with the word of the day. The word of the day today is forgiveness. Forgiveness, and it's a twofold conversation, and we're going to have fun with some other things today, but it's a twofold conversation. One, I kind of know the answer to, and one, I do not know the answer to. So, I have a tough time forgiving my team after losses. I don't have much forgiveness after losses, and you know, right when I get past certain losses, like I'm finally over the game four no-hitter from the World Series. I'm over that. I'm not over them losing the series. But then Hunter Brody, it's all his fault. I feel worse about game five. And I was fine with game five until he kept hitting that. So that's not my fault. That is Hunter Brody's fault. But what I'm having concerns with is it seems like fans and some media members and people are having a tough time having forgiveness for teams when they don't win the way they want them to. And that's the one thing that I don't understand. And also, when players don't play the way they want them to play, even if they're successful players. This is the holiday season where we're 2 days from Thanksgiving. We all, if we're breathing air, have a lot to be thankful for. And even in the sports world, in the grand scheme of things, if you could just remove the Flyers and nudge those seven straight losses out of the way, there's a lot to even be thankful for in the sports world. And but you need some forgiveness. And one thing that has troubled me is that this Eagles thing that I thought would pass because, of course, they won the game and they're 9-1 and you see other teams lose. Like, okay, 1 o'clock, the Eagles have a close win. But when you see the Vikings lose and the Giants lose and other teams lose, and the fact that just around the NFL, a lot of teams have had worse losses, Buffalo Bills, the teams have lost games, that we would have some forgiveness in victories. Now, I understand losses festering, but we shouldn't even have to use the word forgiveness, but I think people sometimes have trouble with forgiveness in a winning effort. And I'm trying to wrap my mind around this holiday season, and maybe we can learn from one another and grow from this. And let me give an example about a player playing a certain way. This goes back from me noticing it back to Allen Iverson and Donovan McNabb and working forward. No matter how many 50-point games AI may have had, there would still be a person out there, well, it would have been 60 if he went to practice, and he'd get a scoring title, he'd have led the league in assists, too, if he went to practice, because he didn't do it the way you wanted him to do it. And then Donovan McNabb, there were people who thought that he should run more. Bernard Hopkins, the great Hall of Fame boxer Bernard Hopkins, made a fool of himself multiple times in public, complaining about Donovan McNabb not, quote, playing the right way because he didn't run. He played more from the pocket, even though he's still to this day the most successful quarterback in franchise history. But they had trouble forgiving him. And I still, like Bernard, like, you should call in 610-632-0975 and give him my bad. Like, come on, man, that was really stupid. Like, it like usually you couldn't tell he got punched in the face for a living until he said stuff like that. Come on, Bernard. But you get the point. And then you go forward, and it was Eric Lindros at times that he didn't do it a certain kind of way, even though he's successful. And then the biggest example today is Joel Embiid, who could be the best player on the planet, but if he doesn't play just like Wilt Chamberlain played for the old school guys, or just like Shaquille O'Neal played, it's not good, even though he's winning. So can we have forgiveness at times where things didn't go the way you wanted them to go, but they still went well? And we'll get to the second part of that in just a moment. Hunter, you understand what I'm talking about today?
I do, absolutely. And it's funny because someone reached out to me and asked me, why don't the Eagles ever look like the Cowboys did in Minnesota? And my reaction right away was, hold on a second. You mean the same exact team that a week before coughed one up against Green Bay and had a very pathetic loss? The same Dallas team to start the year put up 3 points against Tampa Bay in four quarters? My point is, all these teams that you want to relate the Eagles to after a certain week, go back and look at their schedules and you will find either a win or a loss that maybe didn't look as great as they did that week that you're referencing, right? So I think you need to realize that there's going to be slumps within a 17-game schedule, and the fact that the Eagles are still winning throughout the slump, they didn't look phenomenal against Houston, but they still won. That was a short week, a little bit different of a scenario, but it still wasn't the most perfect brand of Eagles football. They still won. They didn't look good against the Commanders. That was a loss. They didn't look good against the Colts. There's still, Bryce Harper goes through a slump throughout a five-game span, but we know deep down that Bryce Harper is a damn good baseball player. That's how I look at this with the Eagles. As a team, yeah, they can be sharper. Yes, there's more details that they have to pay attention to. There needs to be a better game plan from their head coach, not just on game day, but every single day he walks into the NovaCare complex throughout the week to put the team in the best position possible. But at the end of the day, while you still have to figure out the bumps and bruises, if you're still winning throughout that process, you can't lose sight of that. I looked through the last few the Super Bowl champions. Mm-hmm. Here are their records. 12-5 was the Rams. That's five regular season mm-hmm. losses. Five regular season losses the year the Bucs won. The Chiefs went 12-4. The Patriots went 11-5. The Broncos went 12-4. These are the records. That means throughout that journey of them in the regular season, there were some upsetting times to the eventual champions. Don't lose that in the perspective.
And the peculiar part, during the game, we were all frustrated as they're falling behind against the Colts. The first drive, we're all upset. But once they rally to win, you got to forgive. You got to show the forgiveness. Your team won. There's nothing to really have to forgive, but some people, they're fixated on it. So can we get to the point where we can be happy when the team wins and in a specific player? If the player overall does something well overall, they play well, are you okay if it doesn't look exactly like you want it to look? Because at the end of the day, and I'm including myself, we know nothing. We know nothing. Who are we to decide that a player should play a certain way if the player is successful? Perhaps the successful player knows what he's doing. And also, now I have my hoodie on. This was pre-planned before all the players got hurt. All I'm going to have this gear be ready for the Nets return. Ben Simmons is back in town. We'll talk to Scoop Robinson, who's been around the team quite a bit, around 333. We don't forgive Ben Simmons, obviously. He quit on the city. He's just a quitter. That's just simple to say. We know he's talented enough in the regular season, but we know eventually how this story will end. But he's a quitter. And this city prides itself on a lot of things, but quitting is not one of them. And obviously tonight, for the fans to go down there, he will be booed unmercifully, and he should be. He should be more uncomfortable playing here tonight than in any situation in his entire life. But here's a longer question, because it is the holidays after all. And all of us have had some scuffle with a relative, like my Cowboys fan cousin. Like, I haven't forgiven him yet. I like to think that if we keep on living and if I can get to maybe 80, if I'm lucky enough, if I'm blessed enough to live to 80, at that point, I will forgive the fact that he's a Cowboys fan. Like, eventually, I think I'm going to be able to get there. Not in my 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s, but in my 80s, I think at that point, I could sit back in the rocking chair. put on my VR or whatever the things are at that point and really just reminisce about the old days when we were kids playing in like grandpop's backyard. Will we ever, this is a question for us to project, will there ever, forever's a long time, ever be a day in which we forgive Ben Simmons? I know it's not today. I'm not suggesting it should be today. But I'm saying that all of us are the ages we are now. And if we're lucky, we'll get to be old, because obviously the alternative is far worse. Will we ever, will there ever be a day in which the average Philadelphia fan can look back at that dude and have forgiveness because at the end of the day, he was too soft mentally and too weak to play here? That's what it comes down to. Like, whether it's good, bad, or other, he was not strong enough to conduct himself with professionalism in this city and then found a way to get out. Will we ever, 50 years from now, ever have any forgiveness, Hunter?
No shot. There's no shot. I mean, think about if he had the mental makeup of what Joel Embiid was, and you had both of those athletes on the floor at the same time. And when you talk about pure skill set, he's got a rare skill set. With that body frame and his ability to pass the basketball to open the open floor game, it's ridiculous how good he was, but he didn't have the mental makeup. And you know what? That's an uncontrollable, but what is a controllable is how you handle business from that. So if he did one out here and couldn't actually perform here because of the city or whatever, I think because of the way that he faked the mental health, the practice, getting kicked out of practice with Doc Rivers, he pretended like he wanted to be there when you know it's 0% he wanted to. I don't think we'll ever get over that because, you know, while there are some uncontrollables in this story, there's too many of the ugliness wrapped around how he got out of town. And I don't know if we'll, maybe there's a small percentage that felt bad for how he was getting a lot of heat during the beginning stages of this season, even though he's starting to get out of it a little bit. Maybe there's some that will feel sorry for him, but I'd say 98% are never going to forgive him, and I think that's the right way to approach it personally.
All right.
He robbed us. He robbed us.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. We got the jerseys. We have a lot of things. Side dishes, because we got Thanksgiving stuff. I'm in a mood for forgiveness. I'm in a mood for love. It's holidays. It's family. Whoa. It's stuff. No, I'm not forgiving him, but not yet, but I'm just saying, is there any way we ever do it? Because, you know, they say time heals all wounds. If the Sixers win a title this year from these injuries with James Harden, at that point do we go, thank you, Benjamin. You know, you little Australian baby. You helped us get James Harden. We won a title. Like, is there any path to forgiveness? And can we start as fans to have forgiveness for our teams when they win games that maybe weren't perfect? 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is forgiveness today. We're just talking about when we get so upset about wins and certain players doing things a certain way. And also, will we ever forgive Ben Simmons? 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies. For every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's kind of locations in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Penn, Salkin, or Westchester today. And now time to start the Twitter poll with Jen Scordo. Hello, Jen.
Hello there. We have two Twitter polls today.
All right.
Number one, who scares you the most in the NFC? Four answers you have to choose from. The Cowboys, the 49ers, the Vikings, or Tom Brady? And Twitter poll number two, well, I'll give you the early votes. Early votes have the 49ers winning at 49%. The Cowboys coming in close second at 43%.
All right.
And the Vikings don't scare anybody, evidently.
I'm not afraid of them at all.
So Twitter poll number two, are you a fan of the Eagles' all-black uniforms? Heck yes or no way?
Yeah.
Heck yes is winning at 87%.
Now, it's funny, Jen. Both those polls are excellent. Let's hit the jerseys real fast. I was looking at them. The green helmet is dark enough to where, to be honest, the black helmet doesn't make that much of a difference to me visually.
Okay.
So while I it's heck yes, because it does look good.
Yeah.
For the most part, I am not overwhelmed because the green's dark enough. Like, I guess if it was going Kelly green to that, it would be more stark. I'm not blown away. Bye. What did you think, Hunter?
I'm just someone who I don't care jersey they're wearing. If they wore white with green pants on Sunday, okay. If they're wearing all black on Sunday, all right. I mean, I just never really put that much energy in the uniform they're wearing.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Sixers, because I do love what they're rocking this year with the new court.
Yeah. The court looks like a different building. Looks like a whole new building.
The court is awesome.
What do you think about this black on black on black on black?
I like the all black. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. I like it that they're pushing it as a blackout, though. Right?
Yes.
So wear your black jerseys if you're going to the game, that kind of thing. I think that's really, really, I guess I take more heat in that than just the all black uniforms. But I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah. And
like
now,
here's a question.
For people that have black coats, you just wear your black coat.
Yeah, there you go.
Just wear your clothes.
Yeah, just clothes.
Just black clothes.
That in.
Now, is the blackout too collegey? Is that too much of a college vibe?
As long as they only do it for prime time games.
Agreed.
If they do it for Sunday 1 o'clock, then it becomes kind of like,
yeah,
because like it's dark out, it's night. Like to me, it fits. Like, let's intimidate Aaron Rodgers. I think it could be, But if you tried to do it on like a 1 o'clock game against the Texans for just some AFC team,
right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, in that way. And then as far as that, I'll tell you the order with what you gave.
Okay.
49ers scare me the most, only because the Eagles have been susceptible to the run at times. They naturally run, and they want to limit Jimmy G because he's not that good.
Yeah, they're creative. They're creative with what they do.
And then second for me is Brady.
Oh.
And I know they haven't been good, but that I'm going to be afraid of Brady until Brady's out of the league.
Until he retires,
like,
officially.
If the Eagles have this great year, get the bye, and they end up having to face the Buccaneers, they would absolutely be favored, and I think they would win. But
you never know.
That damn Brady. It's just he's done it so often. So where I'm not ready, and if he was turning the ball over a lot, they're asking him to do a lot in that offense, a lot. And he's like, there was people who, according to analytics, they're asking more of Brady now than he's ever been asked of before, as far as the injuries and this and that. And he's still not faltering completely. So, and then I guess it would go Dallas and Vikings would be last.
Yeah.
But really, it's really just 49ers.
And Brady.
I'm actually not worried about Dallas or Vikings that much. But that damn Brady, it's just...
You can never count him out.
I can't say right now there's no way Brady could go on the road and pull an upset.
Right.
He definitely can. He definitely can. Now, I looked up the Chiefs' schedule and some of the results because right now we're talking about the slump. I mean, I'd call it a slump. They just don't look as good as maybe they did in the beginning of the season with the offense flying and all. So they went 2-2 in four games earlier this year at the end of September that flirted into the middle of October. They lost to the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, hold on.
On the road.
I thought that beating the Colts by one was an unforgivable offense.
20-17 was the score.
Oh, so they didn't score a lot of points in that game. How many did the Eagles score? 17 just now.
Yeah.
That's the damnedest thing. Maybe Colts play good defense.
Then they won two in a row, though. They beat the Buccaneers, but then they beat the Raiders, but the score was 30-29. So that's a one-point win against the Las Vegas Raiders, led by a guy right now who's a bum, and then they lost to the Bills. So, I mean, good team, but I'm just saying, they went 2-2 in four games, and the Chiefs are a really good squad that's a serious contender. This stuff happens over the longevity, and I think what happens is we obsess with the flaws because we're afraid that's what's going to hurt us down the road and stop us from reaching that goal. So we obsess over some flaws because we're scared to commit and open up the heart.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. 610-632-0975, Greg in Bethlehem. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, a win is a win. I sort of think that as the season goes on, the coaches should get a better handle on what their team can do well. And personally, it seems to me that we've had pretty good success in the past, prior games, running the ball. And I don't know, Sanders had very few carries in the last game. And, you know, it just seems to me that if you don't push, if you don't try the run, which you do well, you know, it takes play action out of the picture. And, you know, it just seems like I put most of the onus on the offensive coaches for that game not being more successful. I'm happy with the win, but I style points I'm not a big fan of, but I thought the offense could have been more diversified.
Well, Greg, I mean, it's not like they run your typical play. They don't really put Hurts under center to run that traditional play action set because they do a lot of the RPO and the read options and things like that. But, I mean, I do think they had a strange game plan running using Boston Scott, Gainwell, when Sanders was in there. So, I don't know. I have no idea how to wrap my head around Sirianni's game plan.
I also thought there was, in the first three quarters, some mistakes made by Hurts where he kept it when he should have handed it off, and he handed it off when he should have kept it. So I think there was some miscommunication there, some misreads in the RPO. If he hands on the ball three more times and he gets, you know, 7 yards to carry on those, it looks quite different. So I think coaches were weird.
Sure.
And thanks for the call, Greg. Coaches were weird, but I also think that some of it was Hurts early in the game. He was obviously money later in the game.
No doubt. And we got to give credit to the Colts because I'm sure they put together a game plan knowing this is what Hurts. Mm-hmm. But that's the point is when you're figuring out that teams are doing different looks, the fact that you could still win when you are a bit confused and when they did get your number a couple times, you still in the fourth quarter made the biggest plays of the night. We can't just throw that in the trash because that's money time. That's when you need to operate the best. And they did.
I agree. And that's where it's hard for me to say they had to win, but for me, it's kind of no buts. It's just they got the win, period. They got the win, period. Yes, and also they got the win. That's more where my mind goes. Let's see what happens. That's the good thing. Their bye's out of the way. Sunday's a new day at home. I think they'll score 28, 31 points, more points, and then I think they're going to be fine. I'm just not as worried as other people are. 610-632-0975. Brian and then David, you'll be first, but we'll be getting everybody because next segment is our long segment here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.975 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. Not my fault. Jen, it's not my fault.
Uh-huh.
Word of the day is forgiveness. Talk about being happy with close victories. Happy when good players perform well in a way that you didn't like. And will we ever forgive Ben Simmons, who, if you're being giving him every benefit of the doubt, is just the biggest quitter, maybe the biggest quitter in the history of pro sports.
I think it's up there.
Yeah, like, and asking for a trade, but then doing it the way he did it.
That's where I have the issue. Ooh. I mean, look, I'd probably still be pissed off even if he did demand the trade. I'd still question why. But there are some things that are uncontrollable. If he's not made for this city, if there's nothing you can do about it, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
But then it's, you know, the lying and trying to manipulate all sorts of the CBA to get his money and this and that and Rich Paul. And it just
poor
became
Paul.
Poor Paul. It just became a huge mess.
Yeah. And then knowing that he has to come back here because his brother lives here. Why would you burn a bridge that badly if you're going to have to actually spend some time here in the future?
Yeah, I think he even said, it might have been when he was on the JJ show or whatever, that he still had some spots here he's trying to get rid of.
Well, so he got rid of one.
Yeah, well, and look, he took over.
And it ruined him. He stinks now.
Stinks.
He still had, I got to be honest, if I could afford his other one, I would really like
it. It dropped in price.
Hey, there you go.
what's
you got a new gig?
How do you find out?
You got a new couple gigs you got going on. You might be able to do this.
Listen, this one might be tenuous, and the other one's super tenuous. All right, gotta be careful with this. Let's go back to the phones. Brian in Dallas. Oh, Eagles fan in Dallas. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brian.
What's up, fellas? I'll try to be quick, man. So,
go right ahead.
Address the issue, right, about how we're feeling. I don't think forgiveness is an issue, right? It's just that the best analogy I can think of right now, really quick, is remember Ronda Rousey? When she was in MMA boxing and everything, she was unstoppable and all that stuff.
I remember.
And she could have a close fight, whatever, right? But when she fought for Holly Holm and they found a glaring weakness in her that she could not box, and like you do saying earlier about something that's controllable, that you can't control or things you can't control,
mm-hmm.
her being able to box was uncontrollable. It was a glaring weakness. And when that was discovered, she was not the same. She was easily beatable, right? For me, and I think it's a general consensus, the Eagles' weakness, our team's weakness, is what I'm going to say, the limited ability of our offensive, of our coordinators, both on both sides of the ball, compared to the rest of the league, right? Because, look, we played 10 games already, right? And we still have been consistent, but we dominate one quarter, the second quarter, up until the last two games, all right? And for us as fans, we see the limited ability of our coaches able to adjust.
No, Brian, no, you're not seeing that. What you saw was that until the last 2 weeks, they didn't trail in the fourth quarter not one time.
Right.
Right. But you just glossed right over that and was just focused on the second quarter. Like you said, a bunch of stuff, but didn't acknowledge that for the first 8 games of the season, they never trailed in the second half, and they had a double-digit lead,
and they had a double-digit lead
in every game,
right.
And they won the last game.
All right, and follow my theory. What I just told you,
for eight games, they did well, right?
The last two games, right, when they never trailed in the fourth quarter, or the second half, for that matter, they did the last two. Right?
And won one of them.
Brian.
They won one of them. And I don't take that away from them. But my question is this. Is the one they won, you've commented on the offensive coordinator's play calling. You've commented on that.
No, it's the quarterback. But guess what? In this league, if your quarterback's going to be special,
yep.
you're in a good spot.
Yeah, thanks for the call from Dallas. Yeah, they... And the other part is the Ronda Rousey issue, since he brought it up, was she didn't know how to control distance. As a judo fighter, you go all the way in. A boxer, you want to go be all the way in or you want to be all the way out. And she would keep herself right in no man's land, which is what you do not want to be if you're not skilled with those hands. Like Floyd Mayweather can stand right in front of you and dip and whatever. But most people, you have to be all the way in or all the way out. Like, think about if you were in a fight, like as a regular person, because most of y'all out there can't fight. Like, let's keep it real. You know that if you went right into a guy's wheelhouse or a girl's wheelhouse, you get starched. So you need to be far away from the person or so close to where you can wrestle them and grab them. Because otherwise, if you stay a distance, you're going to get two-pieced out of there. That was her. The Eagles, in that analogy, they didn't get two-pieced out of there. They found a way to still win the fight. They still won the fight. Once they figured out this girl can't control distance and needs to be all the way inside, and when she's not all the way inside, is right where you can just punch her in the face, that was the end. Because she didn't have a counter. Jalen Hurts was the counter. Jalen Hurts was the counter. She didn't have a Jalen Hurts. She had nothing. And now she does wrestling, which is fine. I mean, she still would beat any of us up. Like, let's keep it real. Other professionals were beating her. Like, she would, yes, I'm talking to you fellas. She would waste you. But as far as the world-class thing, yeah, that's how it went. Jalen Hurts was the counter.
And my issue with a lot of it, too, is you bring up the fact that, okay, let's say, and I didn't agree with Brian, but just with his idea that there's the coordinators and maybe that's a flaw and this and that or whatever. The team you're playing has flaws.
Yes.
It's not like the team you're playing is 100% perfect in special teams, in offensive coordinator, in offense, in defensive coordinator, in defense, and the Eagles have issues. So the strengths of the Eagles can also expose the flaws of whatever team you're playing on the other side. It's not a one-way street. Right. So you seem to be looking at it with the Eagles blinders on, thinking we're the only team that has a minor hole in their roster. A lot of these teams have more than one minor flaw in their roster, and you kind of lose that in conversation.
And in the case of Minnesota, for example, one of their flaws is their quarterback. Because we know that Cousins is a cute little regular season. He's like a singer who's nice, piddling around the house, doing a little dusting, can do a little hum, you know, do a little sweep
like singing up. Singing while he's working.
Yeah, do a little sweep up, you know, with Thanksgiving dinner. When he's making his dry-ass mashed potatoes, he's singing along and humming along. You know, there's no seasoning, there's no butter. It's just potatoes mashed and put in a bowl. He's not doing anything special, but he can hum a little bit. But when it comes time to really throw down and sing it like a talent show, you know the people like that that could do a little something
sure. If
they stay right in that. That's Cousins. Jalen Hurts can do falsetto. There's some bravado in the voice. There's more to it. Mahomes, there's flaws on the Chiefs. Mahomes can cover up from that because he's a full-throated singer. Well, Cousins and Jimmy G.
And Dak. What's Dak? I don't know. I thought Dak would be in a different spot at this time
of his career.
But hey, look, he's not what Pat Mahomes and Jalen Hurts have showed this season either.
Lamar Jackson, et cetera, like the top guys. And I see Dak there. He put a little salt and pepper on the potatoes. But he don't really know what he's doing.
No butter, though. Just salt and pepper.
Hurts has the salt and pepper and the butter.
And he looks good while doing it.
Right. He comes out. He's got a sweater. Right. He came down. Hey, kids. He gave everybody little gift cards. Yeah. He's doing the whole shebang at the holiday. And I think that's the issue that people are just overlooking. Everyone has the flaw. Like, somebody's going to bring something that needed to be heated up, and you told them to get there early, and they showed up right before dinner. And they know it got to get heated up. It's going to take 20 minutes to heat up. So now that's going to have to be a seconds food.
Ooh.
Where everything's ready. And now if you want some of this, after we bless the food and everybody eats, then you can go back and get Cousin such and such's thing who that's finally warm because they showed up late.
Speaking of Jalen Hurts, though, sometimes you watch something on YouTube and then you get stuck on a suggested video and then a related video. Then you end up on, I don't know.
The cycle.
Whatever it is. I caught a Jalen Hurts interview on my suggested YouTube videos. And it was one of the Kelce brothers do their thing now. And Jalen Hurts was on. I'm watching it. I watched the whole thing, an hour and 15 minutes. I'm like, I didn't think I'd get sucked in. I just saw a different side of his. I saw a little bit of the locker room Jalen Hurts.
Right.
And I got intrigued by it. He's talking about giving the fellas some cool gray 11s, some patent bread Jordan 1s. And I'm seeing a side.
How does he have this hookup for that?
Well, he got all the offensive linemen. That's what he gave him after his rookie year when he made no cash yet. Still not making cash.
Jalen, Mr. Hurts, can I call you Jalen?
Mr. Hurts.
If you could just let me know where you bought those sneakers. I don't want you to buy them for. I would never ask you to do that. But if you could just tell me where you bought them, I would be forever grateful. I know you would be too.
That's right.
If you would like to know where, so we can buy them with our own money. But not have to fight.
The cool grays are nice. I'm rocking the cool grays today.
Oh, yeah.
I like those.
The cherries just dropped, too. It's short in 11s, I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
they're hot items.
They are. We didn't get the red and white ones.
We did not. Yeah, those were the cherries.
I'm sure.
We struck out.
I'm sure he has those. Can we just hook a brother up with your supplier? And we will be regular customers. And we won't tell anybody.
Both would be very regular customers.
I mean, we got our program director 2 minutes before the show. We're trying to prepare and engage in phenomenal conversation.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need to get these for my son, sneakerheads. Come here. And it's like, oh, Chuck.
To our credit.
Chuck.
Talked him out of them.
That's right. Really?
Yes. Not all shoes. Not everything you should be getting. There are limits in this game.
Right. Okay.
There are limits.
All right.
Yes.
Helped him out a little.
A little bit.
Good.
Let's go back to the phones there. David in Trenton. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you doing? How's everybody going?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, I have two things in regards to Ben Simmons. One, when it comes to forgiveness, I can, because even though most people don't want to believe me when I say it, I was never a Ben Simmons fan. So if Joel Embiid pulled that same thing, then I'd be hard-pressed to forgive him.
I got you.
But I think, and I know what I'm about to say will never happen, but it's a dream of mine. I think the biggest, the best response he could ever get would tonight would be absolute silence.
I actually agree with you.
That would be so weird, but I'm in for it. It's just, it would be so strange.
Right. I actually would like that. Like if all of a sudden all you heard was the squeak of sneakers and the bouncing of a ball and nothing. I'm serious. Nothing. Like, I do think that would be eerie enough to spook him. And crazy Kyrie, he wouldn't be right with it. KD wouldn't care because that guy's just different anyway. I would love that. I don't think it's possible, but I have to say, David, that is a great idea.
Well, yeah, I'm the same way. The only reason why I view it is like from a relationship perspective is that at the end of the day, and I've never heard Sixers fans bring this up, but in my humble opinion, MVP of that team was Tyrese Maxey. We got Tyrese and James, so I'm looking at Ben like, you all right? At this point, as a Sixers fan, I'm like, all right, bro, you know.
MVP over Joel, Hans, and Beat?
I let him cook.
No. I said, no. What I said, think about it. Hit me out real quick. Hit me out. We know what JoJo do. JoJo going to do JoJo. But imagine if Tyrese Maxey played like the average second-year number 21 draft pick. How much trouble this team would have been in. That's why I said, we know Joe going to do Joe.
I hear what you're saying, David. Either way, I'm telling you, no Matt Cord. No organ music, no Stixers, nothing. When Ben just total silence. Thanks for the call. I would love it.
Well, imagine if you ran into your ex at the bar and you're thinking like the expectation is they're going to keep looking at you. They'll give you the eyes. But instead,
nothing.
Complete ignorance. You'd feel like you just got spit in the face.
Yep. That is why the cliche is true that the best revenge is just living well.
That's right.
If you just keep on doing your thing and you don't not acknowledge the garbage from the past, whatever it might be, whether it was a person, a boss, coworkers you didn't like, whatever it is in your life, a mechanic who you thought did, whatever it is, if you're just keep on pushing. Now, I'm very flawed, extremely, so I don't always do this, but I know the best thing to do is to just ignore that person completely, keep on living well. That will bother them far more than if you fire back at them in some way.
Well, I do have to admit, when I do get that Ben Simmons frustration, it doesn't happen as quickly as it did in previous year. And obviously, he's not here anymore. But when I start to soak in it and think about it, I eventually get back to that point. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's a sign of growth where eventually I do get over it. But to start the show, I even said it. I still find it hard to believe that I'll eventually get to that point where it is sort of just non-existent because of what he put us through.
Now, it's funny you say that. Jose Gilbertsville, you see what he's getting ready to talk about.
Yes.
Now, I am interested in why he's using the word never. Because right now, no, not forgiven. But even I can imagine a scenario in which I go, fine, like who cares? But other people are using the word never when it comes to forgiveness, like Jose Gilbertsville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Why will you never forgive Ben Simmons?
Because he quit on the city of brotherly love. There should be a rule in the city that any player that quits on the city, if you come back to the Wells Fargo Center, the bank, Citizens, you should not be allowed back. One, two, you should be booed or silent treatment like the previous caller said. He quit. You shouldn't be allowed to quit. It's just plain and simple. You quit a job, you shouldn't be allowed to come back to that job. Plain and simple. That's what I think. Now, giving forgiveness to the Eagles, I could definitely forgive the Eagles for getting that win, not looking pretty on Sunday. The whole goal, obviously, is to make the playoffs, make the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl so we could be partying on Broad Street. And third but not least, I could definitely not forgive you, Tyrone, for saying turkey is overrated,
man. Let me tell you something, Jose. Now listen, you know I respect you, Jose. I think you're a good American. I think you're a good Philadelphia sports fan. I'm telling you that if you guys, we can all do better. I've been saying for months now, can't say for years, everything restarted August 1st. So I've been saying for months now that we can do better and think differently. Of all the foods that you, Jose, forget Thanksgiving. What's your favorite food?
Well, I'm Puerto Rican. I can go with some roasted pork. You know what I mean? I love pork.
Boom, roasted pork. Now, I get tradition, but be honest with yourself, Jose. Dig deep here. if on Thanksgiving you come downstairs and they have the roast pork instead of the turkey, how do you feel, Jose? And don't lie.
Oh, I'm tearing up some pork, Tyrone.
All right. And with that in mind, thanks for the call, Jose. Have a good holiday. That's how you know it's overrated, because turkey's not anybody's favorite. It's not. It's not anybody's favorite.
There are other roasted meats that are better.
Oh, even the Southern Belle has to admit.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And that's what I mean. What I mean is I understand the tradition. I'm not going to people's houses, believe it or not, this Thanksgiving. Like, I'm going to be at the parade in New York. At the Macy's Parade. I'll be looking at the Blues. When I hear about people with their reservations at Tavern on the Green and all the fancy places, I'm not going in there and flipping tables if people are eating turkey. What I'm saying is...
I would love to see that, though.
What I'm saying is, if we're being honest, since Jose brought it back up, turkey's not anybody's favorite.
It's hard to argue the favorite part of it. Well, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it, but I don't know many people where it's their number
you're
one.
You're giving thanks for everything that you have going on in your life. You're giving thanks. And the thing you eat is something you don't love?
Oh, I love it. That's the difference.
No,
I do love it.
You don't love
it. I love it. I might love other things more, okay. But I love it.
All right. Jen.
Yes?
Hypothetically on a fella.
Okay.
Is there any physical quality that you like the most?
Sure.
Okay. Hunter Brody, hypothetically. Well, I kind of know, I think. But is there any physical quality on a lady that you like the most?
Yes.
Okay. If you're celebrating, right? Everybody out there. Whatever you like, right? I'm not judging what you like. You like something the most. You'll take the other stuff, but you like something the most. On the day where you give thanks, shouldn't you have the thing that you like the most? Like, if I'm saying nobody likes turkey the most. Nobody. First of all, I've never met a person who likes turkey more than chicken. I'm just being honest. Like, now, maybe a certain kind of chicken or blah, 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 blah. That's all I'm saying. So in that way, it's something that's artificially boosted due to tradition. But deep down, you know that when you have all your loved ones around, and everybody's swapping stories, and you're hugging, and you got the booze going, and all that football going, you know you'd rather be eating something else. And for that reason, it's overrated.
It's hard to rebuttal here. See, the thing is, this job is all about, you know, getting that fight back. And I'm sitting here like, well, I know what I like.
You know,
if it ain't there, I'm going to be a little pissed off.
I did start thinking yesterday about this whole conversation. We used to do, with my mom, we used to do turkey on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Did basically the same meal for both holidays. I loved it. It was great. Over the past couple of years, we've switched from turkey at Christmas to roast beef, like prime, but bone in prime, like good.
So when you cut that and the juice just a flying and dripping every which way as you make those nice long cuts,
it's better than the turkey.
And you go to put on there,
it's better than the turkey. It is.
And that is what I mean, people. 610-632-0975. Now we'll get 3 o'clock out. We'll get to the question of the day a little earlier because now we're expanding away from the turkey. We don't need to fight about that today and get into some of the side dishes. What do you like to go with your turkey? And obviously, your phone calls, we'll talk to Brandon Robinson, who's been covering the Nets really close about what we're going to be getting tonight. The Sixers do have a game where, despite the Sixers playing missing, the Nets are here. Ben Simmons back for the first time. And a few surprises in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. We'll talk to Brandon Robinson at the bottom of the hour. You guys, before we get back to the phones and continue our conversation about forgiveness and the holidays and all that jazz, is anybody else annoyed when people call you? You know this. Your hours.
Yes.
You know your hours.
I do.
Know my hours. And I know, Hunter, at least yours are semi-new still having these hours.
Yeah.
But I've had the same schedule for over 4 years. And, Jen, you've been over a year having the exact same schedule.
Yep.
And you still get phone calls during segments with people who should know your schedule.
Like mom and dad.
Yeah. You get the phone calls from mom and pops?
Oh, sometimes.
During the show?
Yes. And wow. during commercial break, I'll text them and be like, hello, is everything okay? First off, because I get nervous if they call me. Right.
Right.
I'm like, is everything okay? And then I'm like, okay, I'll call you at 6 o'clock. Bye.
Yeah, it's about the microwave. It's like, well, right. plug it in.
Or it'll be, oh, I forgot. I'm like, you forgot? Okay.
And then if they want to get into a conversation, we have limited time because the commercial break is a finite amount of time.
Right.
So a text message would be very handy.
Yes.
From someone I have received, it's not an emergency. It's definitely not an emergency. 3 phone calls.
Today?
Yeah.
Everything's okay.
In a row.
It literally couldn't be. All right.
Now I'm starting to wonder, you know what? Is it possible? Pocket dial? Like, they don't mean that they're calling that many times and it's in the pocket?
I hope.
Because it does seem a bit strange.
And it does still happen. I thought the days with an iPhone that the butt dialing was over. My dad does it all the time to me. Yeah. I will get random phone calls from him just in his phone's in his pocket. But I thought that was kind of over with the way iPhones are now, but I guess not.
No, it could still
maybe
happen.
It could have been.
Now, we do have on the turkey thing.
Yeah.
We got this tweet coming in from Tim, okay? Uh-huh. Now, his handle is @FlyersGuru. And as a hockey guy myself, I know that we could be a little lost in the head. So I'm just saying, he tweets at us and says, turkey is his favorite, and he's averaging 5 turkey gobblers a week.
I love a gobbler.
Now, there's a Tim on hold that says, turkey's my favorite. Maybe that's him.
We'll get to them.
Yeah. 5 a week?
Yeah. I mean, they're only here for a limited time.
5 a week.
That's
means
a lot.
Basically, Monday through Friday, you're getting one every day. You don't switch it up at all? Or maybe he eats one on the weekend?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Dylan was just in here in the commercial break, and we were talking about how leftover turkey is better than turkey on Thanksgiving, and it's the sandwich specifically.
But I don't want to say that because now that gives Tyrone a lot of leverage here.
I
said to Dylan,
the value of the food.
I said, I think I'm convincing myself that turkey may be overrated.
I'm not there yet. I can't let Tyrone win that easily.
I'm not there yet either.
See,
but
this is the thing. I don't really, for me, it's not about who's right.
Right, it's not about wins and losses here.
It's about what's right. I'm a champion for what's right, not who's right.
Of course you are.
I'm a champion for what's right.
Okay.
That's what matters.
All right.
That's right.
That's what matters.
That's right.
Now, also, you got the Eagles black jersey, black helmet combination. Let's go back to the foes and Chris and Kate May. What are you thinking about the Eagles black helmet, black jersey, black pants on Sunday night against the Packers?
This is what I'm thinking about. Okay, that the Eagles last November played the Saints, and I was at the game, and I chose the Michael Vick throwback to go to the game. I've been wearing that jersey ever since Jalen Hurts made a run.
All right, you haven't taken it off once?
Now, which color jersey is it?
I got the black and green. It's all black, and it's got green letters.
Okay, go ahead.
Green, all right.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And every Sunday, I put that jersey on since last November, since I wore it. Mm-hmm. After that, I went to a Wu-Tang concert in Philly. Well, check this out. I've been wearing that jersey every Sunday, and it hurts has made a run. Now, I'm superstitious. And I got a Hoskins jersey with that Vic jersey with a deal from my friend. And he also gave me a Ben Simmons jersey. I never wore that Ben Simmons jersey. I gave it away.
Good.
But these two Hoskins jersey that I got, it's the red one, the road red. Mm-hmm. And I got the throwback Michael Vick, all black. It's got green letters. And I wear that every Sunday because I'm superstitious. And Hurts has made a run.
Well, that's a good commitment from you. So this is the tough spot. I believe in all the superstitions. At the same time.
Oh, I want to bring a point up.
Well, go ahead.
Hurts made a cut in that game and broke that dude's ankle.
Yeah, when he plants his foot,
it's dangerous.
It is lethal.
After that, I said, okay. He can play like Vic.
He loves Vic, too, man. He always talks about Vic.
Thanks for the call there.
Loves Vic. I mean,
he does. They did that whole thing for the Monday night for the Washington game. And I knew, you know why? I haven't brought this up till just now. You know the real reason why they lost.
Why's that?
You had RG3 doing that thing with McNabb, Vic, and Hurts.
Mm.
And you know who was missing? He got mentioned, but you know who was missing? Rodney Pete.
And Don, I think it was Donovan, right? Donovan brought him up, yeah.
Brought him up and talked about how he did it from the pocket. Had they brought Rodney in, I think, I'm telling you.
They would have won?
Yes.
Well, on that interview I mentioned to you earlier, he touched on some quarterbacks. He brought up Cunningham.
Uh-huh.
Brought up Vic.
Uh-huh.
Brought up McNabb.
Uh-huh.
He brought up Manning and Brady. I don't even know if McNabb was brought up, but I know Cunningham and Vic were, and I'm thinking to myself,
I'm telling you what.
Is he going to bring up, you know, the unthinkable?
He's not.
You're correct, though. He always gets left out.
Yeah, it's now one of my big goals. Is to have
somehow get it mentioned in a...
No, to get Rodney Pete in studio.
Oh, all right.
Don't know how I'm going to do it.
Not just on the phone. We need him live in here.
Live in studio.
I think it's doable.
Him?
I think it's doable,
if Holly would like to come, that'd be great, too. I got some 21 Jump Street questions. I would like to ask her about her career from 21 Jump Street forward.
And on, yeah.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of questions for her as well if she comes. But first things first, Rodney.
And I think they still have a fairly large connection to the city, right?
I think they do.
I think they do, too. We could work on this.
Got to work on it. I want Rodney Pete in the forgotten black quarterback.
What's the first question you'd ask him? Do you feel disrespected?
No, I wouldn't say disrespected. I would say I would just ask him his reasoning for why he feels he gets left out of those conversations. And I would like to hear his reaction. It wasn't because he didn't play a long time. Only because Google is everyone's friend. Imagine another quarterback doing what he did in the playoff game, scoring 97 points like he did, winning a playoff game, and ending the Cunningham regime, and it completely getting forgotten.
We talk more about Chip Kelly's 10-win season where they didn't make the playoffs more than we do that, winning a playoff game.
That's crazy. Scoring like 50-some points.
That's nuts.
It really is when you think about it, you know? But, like, I fell into the trap because before you really brought it up.
Right.
I don't ever think about it.
It's like there was some sort of black hole where we talk about history up till McNabb. Foof, goes right past Rodney Pete. Here's Donovan McNabb, and here's the rest. And that in-between time, erased completely. Like the Ray Rhodes, Gruden as offensive coordinator, all that area. Just has been just blown out of Philadelphia history somehow.
I feel like I owe him an apology if he's live in studio. Just a little one.
Yeah, like, you
sorry,
know what?
Buddy.
We didn't remember you. And I know people will try to say swag. Go slow, all right? It's about how you play on the field with the swag. And he had enough swag to get Holly Robinson Pete.
That's right.
And let me tell you, whatever you think about her now, which you still should be positive, you have to go back to hanging with Mr. Cooper version when he got her. A lot of people, a lot of sharks in the water. And he had enough swag to pull that off. Let's go back to the phones. Will in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello?
Hello, Will.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guy. How you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. My thing is addressing the problem with the Eagles. And that would be stopping the run and play calling. Even though some of these things have been addressed, they haven't been fixed.
So now, what did you have a problem with on Sunday from their run defense?
From the run defense, there were not enough three and outs to say you actually stopped.
After the first drive, for the whole game, they averaged less than 4 yards a carry. After the first drive, they averaged, the Lions, I'm talking about, under 3 yards per carry. You mentioned stopping the run. I understand that you might have some PTSD from previous weeks. Stopping the run was not an issue on Sunday. Sue and Joseph and Fletcher Cox and all of them, they did a very good job there.
So there looked. You said you wanted three and outs, where there was a five-play drive that went 11 yards for a punt, a five-play drive that went 16 yards with a punt. Would that be okay? 4 plays, 5 yards for the Colts. 4 plays, negative 4 yards. Is I don't know. I'm just saying, like, these numbers are pretty good. Pretty good.
The switch over to the play calling. What are the issues with the play calling there, Will?
Well, there's not enough. Prior to losing to Washington, they had a steady calling, which was good, but it was against teams that weren't so good. Now, if you trying to take that play calling into the playoffs, how long is it going to last, and how strong can it stand?
When they beat Minnesota and Dallas, how was the play calling?
Say it again?
When they beat Minnesota and Dallas, both playoff teams, how was the play calling?
It was very mixed and versed.
So you're saying that it's gotten less mixed and versed, or perhaps there were some times where they had leads and they ran less total plays. And this past week, they were missing their tight end for the first time. Thanks for the call, buddy. Out of 11 drives, only three of them, they have more than one first down. So literal three and out, maybe not. But overall, the defense, in our opinion, not a major problem. Offense needed to be better. But we did mention that there was going to be some growing pains without Goddard in that first week, especially, and you saw the young tight ends made some mistakes. 610-632-0975. Bill, Chuck, D, Tim, we'll get to you on the other side. We have Brandon Robinson in the bottom of the hour talking about the Sixers' Nets tonight. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is forgiveness. Talking about forgiving your team for winning by less than you want. And also, will we ever forgive Ben Simmons? Booney brought us some interesting things about football that we're going to get to in just one moment. But it's time for our question of the day. And the question of the day today is, we'll be back to the phones in a moment. 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705. The question of the day today is what, Jen?
What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish and your least favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Okay. You go first like you normally do, but it's because I'm stuck on the least favorite.
Yeah, you
myself.
Should. Tyrone is all over the place right now.
You should
hear. He's like talking to himself, but Garrett, and I'm like, all right, whatever. Talk yourself through it. You know what I mean?
Having a tough time with the least.
So the least for me is cranberry sauce. And it's not because it's bad. It's just when you rank it against the other items are better. But this is my predicament. Because I want to go mac and cheese. Mm. But I think mac and cheese falls in this category of it holds too much power as a side. Because you can eat mac and cheese as an entree in other scenarios. I mean, it has that type of power.
But you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. But I mean, I've done it many times in my life.
Same, yeah.
Exactly. So is it too powerful? It's almost like.
Still counts.
I don't know.
It still counts because the turkey is the star. Like if you're winning an Oscar or an Emmy for the meal. Best actor nominee would be turkey. And Mac would not be best actor. It would be supporting actor or actress.
Okay,
so
but
that's why it counts.
I don't know. If we're looking for it, see, this is.
So eliminate that one. What's your favorite outside of that?
Mashed potatoes. Come on now.
All right.
Mashed potatoes.
And your least favorite? You said the cranberry sauce.
Okay, my least favorite is the sweet potatoes with the marshmallow, like the sweet potato casserole.
It gets
super, like, sweet.
There you go.
I prefer a savory sweet potato. That's just me.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the sweet. I like other sweet things that can be considered side dishes, just not that one. But my favorite is dressing. I grew up calling it dressing, not stuffing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, whatever you want to call it. Dressing is my above and beyond favorite, absolutely.
Love it. Now, mac and cheese is the favorite. It counts for me. It's the favorite with a bullet. And the issue is, what you just mentioned, I've seen that, like, stopping by people's homes on the side. That's never been at any place where I was having my main Thanksgiving meal.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to rank it because it doesn't show up in my life. So almost everything I like, that's why it's hard for me.
Yeah.
So if I have to pick my least favorite, and I still eat it and like it, but I like it less than everything else, it would probably be the roasted carrots. Because I've had those and I still eat them, but if I'm comparing it to the mashed potatoes, and I like cranberry sauce, and I like all the other stuff, if I'm putting myself in a jam of if I make a plate, and what do I like the least on the plate? It would have to be the carrots.
And just plain roasted carrots, not the glazed ones?
They're not really glazed. But even they're glazed, they're my least favorite what's there. I still eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's why it was hard for me, because I actually still like them. But if I'm ranking, still my favorite.
There you go.
Yes.
To each their own.
Still my least favorite, I should
say. Your
least
favorite, yeah.
But, yeah, so your favorite and least favorite sides from Thanksgiving, 610-771-9705 for the question of the day. Now, Booney brings up, as we get back to the phones, we have a credit problem here. And I'm not talking about, like, your FICO score. You mentioned the Colts defense earlier. Like, the Colts defense is ranked number 5 in the NFL. Is there any way possible? And we know, Booney acknowledged that Hurts missed some reads in the RPO, and we mentioned it yesterday and today. There was a couple times where Sanders might have got some yards, and Hurts kept it. And there was a couple times where Sanders had no chance, and Hurts handed it to him. Like, but some of that was probably the Colts self-scouting, recognizing their tendencies, and probably every other bit of film that Jalen Hurts saw when the guy had was linebackers were lined up here, et cetera, the gaps, all that stuff. It meant handoff. And then at other times it meant keep it, and most likely the Colts self-scouted like all teams do and adjusted their tendencies. Credit to that defense. And at the end of the day, Hurts found a way to win the game. So rather than go, they won, but it should be, that's a good defense. They're a motivated group right now because of the coach, and they won anyway. Maybe remove the but from it completely. And that's where we have to start forgiving our team for not being perfect when they win. Now, again, it's all Hunter Brody's fault that I'm still mad about game 5, because I got over the no-hitter in game 4 and having to do a watch party where I had nothing to say because of the Phillies.
I wish I was a fly on the wall for that watch party.
Right?
Seemed like you had a great time.
I
know you did with the people, but I'm saying
it was hard to hop on the mic and get riled up when your team's getting no hit. I never thought I would have to deal. Then the next watch party, Schwarber immediately hits the home run. So I said, not getting no hit today. Here we go, people. Like, it's all stuff going. But game 5, I'm now mad because of you.
I know.
You kept bringing it up.
Well, it was devastating. The one is such an outlier. I get it. It's frustrating to see that happen, but you had so many men on base in game 5.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So forgiving that, I'll work on. But we have to have forgiveness for our team in wins.
Can I throw something in, just interestingly enough?
Sure.
You said that you can't forgive him. He just apologized to you.
Yeah.
If
I did.
Going back to Ben Simmons, if Ben Simmons were to come to the city of Philadelphia and be a completely reformed man and say, I know that I didn't do you right. I could have done better. It's on me. I apologize.
Wow.
Then do you forgive him?
If he actually did that?
Yeah. Wow.
That's a great question. I would forgive him.
I think I would too.
I think you can.
I never
wrote an apology from Ben, like a genuine.
Yeah.
I would absolutely forgive him.
I think you have to at that point. You have to say, okay, all right, you've seen the error in your ways. We appreciate the apology. Forgiven.
Yep.
I think until that happens, the city will never forgive Ben Simmons.
25-year-old guys make mistakes. Obviously, there's a lot of money involved and all that stuff. But if he actually apologized.
He has to recognize it first.
Right, and say what he did wrong.
Yeah.
That he quit. I shouldn't have quit. I wasn't tough enough for whatever reason, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I could forgive him.
Yeah,
I could too.
The way I handled practice with Doc Rivers, that was on me. And just kind of go through a whole list of things.
Joel, the blame game.
He's got to bring up the Joel stuff when he was still texting his crew that he was a better player when Embiid, as Embiid got the scoring champ. And he's saying, I'm still better than him. Like, he's got to cover quite a few things.
Because we are the city of brotherly love. If he comes with all sincereness, I think we would just open our arms to him and say, okay, we forgive you, Ben.
The problem is we're living in la-la land.
That ain't never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
But
that's what it would take. That's what it would take. So to answer the question on how can we forgive Ben or will we forgive Ben, it would basically have to be something where we're living in la-la land.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's never going to happen.
Well, you know, never say never. Never say never.
That's true.
Crazier things have happened.
You're right. There was a big loss in the World Cup this morning.
That's true.
There was. I mean, are you kidding me?
They're calling it the biggest upset in World Cup history.
It was. And I saw one crew was watching it in Saudi Arabia. They took their door off the hinge celebrating. They got so crazy, they picked the door up. The front door
yanked
off the hinges and walked out the door with
it. Oh, my.
Somebody was like, that door didn't deserve that. 610-632-0975. We have our long segment. So, Bill, Chuck D, we will get to you in the next segment, I promise, right after we talk to Brandon Robinson from Bally Sports, who's been covering the Nets extensively about what we'll be walking into or what the Sixers will be walking into tonight. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. Word of the day is forgiveness on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. From Bally Sports, does a fantastic job as their NBA insider, Brandon Scoop B. Robinson, on the line right now. How are you today, Brandon?
Man, happy early Thanksgiving. I'm blessed. How are you?
Man, I'm better now that I'm talking to you, man. We need some information because the Sixers, obviously, they're missing their top three scorers, and expectations are low on that side. But stranger things have happened, and the Nets have been filled with controversy all this season, both Ben Simmons related and obviously not Ben Simmons related. You've been, you know, locked in on all these things all along. Tell us exactly what the climate is for the Nets as they come to the Wells Fargo Center tonight to face the Sixers.
I mean, you're looking at a Nets team that's coming off some pretty big wins against the Blazers, against the Memphis Grizzlies, and they got their second best scorer in Kyrie Irving back in the fold. And Ben Simmons does make a return to the Wells Fargo Center, and I think in this case he's motivated, and it's not just because of the matchup against the 76ers. I mean, he's really been kind of charged up since the Portland game, as well as the Memphis game at Barclays Center. But I think this is a good matchup. Unfortunately, you are without four of your guys in the fold, so I don't think it's as climatic as had Embiid or James or some of the other guys been in the fold, but Maxey as well. But I guess Tobias Harris versus Ben Simmons is some type of saving grace. What say you?
What do you see differently in Ben Simmons now compared to where he was in the beginning of the season? Because he was getting mocked on social media, airballing layups, and you know, you look at his last game and he had 22 points. So, you know, what have you seen?
Well, I have to be very clear. New York and New Jersey are both home for me. I grew up in both. But I also do know the Philadelphia region well, being an alum of Eastern University. I understand the climate that is Philly, and I understand that a lot of fans in the Philadelphia area feel as though Ben quit on them, and I understand all of that. But I also do know that Ben is, 25, 26 years old, and I'm sure when many people who listen to your show were of that age, they may have done some things non-basketball related that they're not proud of. And I think the difference between the person who watches basketball versus Ben Simmons is they're not making millions of dollars and playing basketball in front of everybody. And so I think in this instance, when you look at Ben Simmons and what has changed, I think part of it is the rehab process from his back. I'd rather hurt my legs than hurt my back, because your back is the middle point between your arms and your legs, and it controls so much movement of your body. But I also think how the process of Ben Simmons coming back from folks that I've talked to is just interesting. You look at Steve Nash and his ultimate ousting in Brooklyn for a myriad of reasons and not responding, or the players on the team not responding, and even Kevin Durant requesting that both he and Sean Marks be out. There was a lot of toxicity, if you will, in that system. And I think the way that they brought Ben Simmons back, I wasn't really feeling it. I think coming off the bench at times, even when Nash was fired and they brought in Jacques Vaughn, there was a portion of time where they played that game against Washington, they played Charlotte, then they played Dallas. And when they played Washington and Charlotte, he was back at the facilities rehabbing his knee issues and things of that sort. I think now he's coming into a situation where his health as well as his mental are all both on a balanced equilibrium. And here we are now. You know, I think the other thing is when you look at, I was at that game last season when he returned and everybody was yelling some things at him, and he wasn't even part of the process. I remember he was passing the ball to Patty Mills pregame, and, you know, people were really upset and all of that other stuff. I kind of feel like that was the precursor before the actual game, so he knows what to expect.
He does for sure. Now, you mentioned toxicity. Kyrie Irving. One thing that's been consistent about the Nets that I know you know about is it's not really been about what their top end could be, because with Kevin Durant and Kyrie and everybody, the top end is maybe a title, but they've rarely, if ever, reached their top end since they've been together. And Kyrie, more controversy, and he's just coming back on Sunday. And I know they won the game, but are we sure all the toxicity is gone, or could there another flare up be in pregame? Could Kyrie say something today and lead to being out again? Is all that toxicity gone up there in Brooklyn?
It's hard to say. I think because the issue with Kyrie Irving that led to where we are now in his return on Sunday was about so much more than just basketball and the typical social issue topics that people talk about. I think this is relations between our African American brothers and our Jewish brothers and sisters is a bit different in all this process. I think he has in a lot of ways sparked a national conversation that's been our grandparents, our parents talked about it. But as it relates to basketball, you'd hope that he'd be ready. But I will tell you that just, you know, behind the scenes and being in touch with those that be, his focus has been getting right. I know that he's worked out with J.R. Smith through that whole process of the 8-game suspension. When Kyrie plays on the court, it's never an issue with his talent. I feel like in the last 2 years, we've talked about more off the court and his lifestyle than we have actually Kyrie Irving on the court. I personally think that the Nets' best chance so far during this 4-year partnership of them winning a championship was when they ultimately lost to the eventual NBA champions, the Milwaukee Bucks, in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago, and then came the bubble. The bubble changed a lot. And then, of course, New York City's vaccine mandates was a thing. And so when I look at the Nets and I look at Kyrie Irving, the thing that, to me, I'm impressed with really and truly has been the fact that those guys have found a way to win in spite of him not being there. And really the rise of Yuta Watanabe. That he's been playing well. I know my mentor and friend Ian Eagle calls him Yuta the Shooter. He's been playing well. Then you look at, you know, some of the other guys who have stepped up, Royce O'Neal and others. So while Kyrie Irving is often the focus, as a team, the Nets have found a way to gel. I think it's now reinserting him back into the lineup and figuring out. He looked a bit rusty in the game against Memphis. And just knowing him and knowing the caliber of player he is, get that rust off and, you know, they'll go against Philadelphia tonight.
What were your thoughts during the time of possibly bringing in Udoka as the head coach and then they eventually backed off?
What were my thoughts or what did I hear?
Well, both.
Start with what you
know,
what you were hearing.
I know a little bit more.
Yeah, I want to know what you were hearing. Yeah.
We want the goods.
So what I'll say to you is this. As it relates to the process of what has happened behind the scenes in Boston, there's a lot that many don't know that I am privy to. But at the same time, I'm told that the NBA did step in and told the Nets that they need to kind of temper that down. Part of it was because of the attention that the Kyrie Irving situation brought. But also, I'm told that the Nets players really bonded well with Jacques Vaughn, and I said this on Twitter and I'll share it here. Folks, players within that locker room have shared. They rock with their coach. Jacques Vaughn won them over. Ime will get another job. I will share that, you know, prior to this season starting, one of the thought processes that I was hearing from folks in the know was that if the Knicks situation with Tom Thibodeau came to a screeching halt, that the Knicks could consider him. But as it relates to the Nets, from folks that I've spoken with, they felt as though it was going to bring too much attention to an already Kyrie Irving-centric topic, but that Jacques Vaughn really won those guys over. I know that Ime has a lot of ties to both the Nets players and the Sixers organization as well, but that ultimately it was just the scene was too hot, or as they say in Philly, everybody was just drawing, so we had to get that John out of here. You know, when it comes down to it, Jacques Vaughn won the job. He was the second choice, but he's proven why. Sometimes first is worst, second is best, and the last one ends with a hairy chest.
Yes. Last thing I want to ask you about is The Ben Simmons, obviously, it ended however it ended. You're around players, and you don't have to give us, you know, word for word verbatim. Do you think he has any regrets in that the city at one time did love him? Even when he, after the Hawks thing, had he come in and said, my bad, I got to get better, et cetera, et cetera. Fans would have forgiven him. He decided to not do that. Do you think he has any regrets about the way he left things in Philadelphia?
I think those are the type of things that a lot of players think about after they retire. I can't speak for Ben on that one, but what I can say is, you know, I caught hell when I tweeted in the spring that players and Nets practice were mad, and somebody in the Nets organization told me that he was walking around practice like he was Jordan, and y'all ran with that on Twitter. But as it relates specifically to regrets, I mean, who wouldn't regret not winning the championship in 2019 when Kawhi Leonard hit that shot that ultimately took them to the NBA Finals? I think it's so much bigger than passing the ball in Atlanta. And I have respect for Philly, but I often think that in sports, the things that some fans find important, that's not on players' radar the same way. I've learned that over time. As a journalist, I am a conduit between the fan and the player, but at the same time, the focus on things that some people think the player should care about is not what the player cares about.
That's fair enough. Well, Scoop, I appreciate you coming on so much. Brandon Robinson, fantastic job. Hope to talk to you again soon, man. Great information. And it'll be interesting to see what goes down tonight.
It will, gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity to be myself. And I wish your Sixers the best tonight.
No, thanks so much, man. And we'll talk soon.
My man.
All right. That was Brandon Scoop B. Robinson on the Comcast Business Hotline, lead NBA insider for Bally Sports. Interesting. So we're not getting that apology, Jeff.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
We're not getting that apology because he could have easily leaked out. Yeah, you know, I wish things had been different. He clearly has not.
Imagine covering that team. What if you were a young kid and it was your first year on the beat?
That's normal.
And you had to sit there with Kyrie, with Ben. Kevin Durant was frustrated. You got the head coach drama. So much.
And it's not done.
Oh,
like
no.
Maybe tonight they go beat the Sixers because the Sixers don't have any players.
Yeah.
But the drama's not over.
No.
Kyrie's going to say something.
Oh, yeah.
Or Kyrie's going to call someone to do something, and he's going to have to realize that it's his fault those things happened.
That words matter.
Yeah, we're getting to a scary point here with this Kyrie
thing. That's what I mean. And I just know that Ben is not the person you want to be relying on when things start getting a little tough.
He's the most sane one of this whole thing.
Oh, man.
Like, imagine him being the voice of reason.
Oi!
Like, hey, fellas, this is what we got to do. Are you going to shoot? No. Then you can't talk. And you just have to sit there. Because that's what I would say to him. I wouldn't want, unless you're going to shoot threes in the game, I would hear nothing from you.
And you said you think he will tonight, huh?
I think he'll shoot one just to troll.
Shoot one?
Yeah, just to troll.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if they get a big lead, he'll come down and fire one just to troll.
Remember those times where he would actually take it, he'd make it, and he wouldn't take another one again?
Yeah.
I don't want to relive this time of my life.
No. 610-632-0975. Been talking about forgiveness both. Will we ever forgive Ben Simmons? And also, we have to learn how to forgive our teams when they lose, when they win close games. And lose, forgiveness just comes because they play another game. That's why I figure out when I'll get over game five now. When they win the first playoff game next season.
That's how long it'll take.
Yeah. That's a long time from now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll root for them, though.
Phyllis. Oh, sure.
I've got to always root.
Well, we got Dave signed to a long deal. That story by Matt Gelb in The Athletic was pretty cool about Rob almost hanging him up.
Yeah.
He goes on that ride.
See?
That's crazy.
Now he can't hang him up.
No, nope.
You just can't leave.
There you go.
610-632-0975. Bill in Bristol. As we go back to the phones, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Bill.
Hey, already. Earlier in the show, Tyler had mentioned the currently teams that
Hunter.
Are. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Anyway, you had mentioned that you did a rundown of teams that were this year. That were, you know, supposedly on a par with the Eagles or better than the Eagles, but and you brought up their miscues along the way.
Yes,
and I wanted to elaborate on that a little bit, and I'm going in the way back machine. I don't know if you remember, but I'm a Dolphins fan, and naturally I cling to the 1972 team.
So what was it like growing up down in Miami?
What's that?
What was it like growing up down there in Miami in the 70s?
It was hot.
Yeah, because you're from there, right?
Not originally, no.
Whoa. Well, why are you a Dolphins fan if you're not from Miami?
Well, because when I went to Penn State, I happened to be a very good friend of one of the players who wound up playing for them.
Hold on. Where are you from this area, Bill?
Yes.
Now, I respect you, Bill, but you're from this area. And then because you knew a guy, you became a Miami Dolphins fan for all these years?
No, yes and no. Yes, I have, but that doesn't mean I root against the Eagles.
No, not about who you root against. I'm talking about who you root for, Bill. Unfortunately, Bill, you being a Dolphins fan kind of damages the credibility, and I appreciate the call. It damages the credibility of what he has to say about the Eagles because he's Miami first.
He is.
And really, when we're talking, we love everybody. We love everybody. But sometimes we're talking to each other as fellow Eagles fans,
of course,
people invested in the Eagles. He's more worried about Tua. He doesn't care about our Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
We care about Jalen Hurts. So that throws it off a little bit.
Yeah, and you should probably get the host names right.
That I was going to allow you to say.
Yeah, that's right. Hunter, Rhodes, Brody, we came to terms with. You can do all three of those.
Yeah.
We're assuming he was talking about you, right?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
My first thought went to Tyler Tyrone.
Oh,
you know
maybe
what I mean?
He did mean that.
Maybe.
They may not know.
But he did comment on something that you said earlier in the show.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I think you were right.
So, but go Dolphins. Back to the phones. Chuck in Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chuck.
Hello.
How are you?
First off, I'd like to address the lady of the house. How you doing, Miss Beautiful Jen?
Well, hello, Chuck. Thank you. I'm doing very nicely. Thanks.
All right. Fellas, I'd like to say I like your show. I enjoy it every day.
Thank you.
Can I get to the Sixers first?
Sure.
Well, I'm kind of biased because I'm a Ben Simmons fan. I'm a Ben Simmons fan. I've always been since he was in LSU. I don't like the way things ended with him here. I don't like the way he handled it. I thought he could handle it a little better.
A little better.
So are you a Sixers fan or a... Are
I'm
you...
a Sixers fan.
Okay.
I'm a Sixers fan. First.
Okay.
I'm a Philly fanatic.
Okay.
Always to the board. What I think is people going to be surprised tonight. I think people going to be surprised tonight. I think we're going to play Brooklyn hard. Now,
I agree
winning,
with that.
Winning, I don't know. But you're going to see some matchups that is going to come down to do we need to make moves or could we keep this roster the same
way? No.
Well, we can't base that off
tonight. Nothing to tonight will decide that. You don't have Embiid, Harden, or Maxey. Nothing that happens tonight, Chuck, respectfully, will have anything to do about what personnel moves they need to make.
Let me explain myself. I've been a Daniel House fan since Texas A&M, since him and Buddy Hill went through it in college. I think that matchup with him, I think he's going to have to guard Durant a lot tonight.
Yeah, but in a normal day, it wouldn't be that because you'd have your stars. You'll have one starter, Tobias, and PJ,
I
guess.
PJ's going to guard Durant some as well.
Yeah, and what I say by that is because just take a look at how long Thibault been here. Thibault been here for years, and he really hasn't improved yet.
No, he has not.
I've been a Matisse Thibault fan.
Right. So Chuck, what is the bottom line point you have?
The bottom line, I think that when the way we played Brooklyn tonight in certain matchups is going to force our hand in certain directions.
Unfortunately, Chuck, appreciate the call. Have a great holiday. Absolutely not.
He loved every player since back in college. Every player. Right. I loved Matisse since Washington.
Since right. back in the day.
Right. 610-632-0975. No. Don't mean to be that way. It's just no. You're not going to judge your team with your top three scorers out. And Tobias stretch fresh off a hip pointer and then say, this is how we're going to judge the team as far as making personnel moves. No, the Sixers need to get as healthy as they can, as quickly as they can, and then play together more, and then they can make personnel decisions. They're not going to base them on players. The team, how the team looks without its top three players. 610-632-0975. D will lead us off at the 4 o'clock hour. You can, of course, join D, and we'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. Now, the word of the day is forgiveness. And it's been a two-pronged conversation here today about both football and really all our teams, where for days and days, and I have some relatives like this, the team will win, and 3 weeks later, they're still mad that they should have won by more. Their team won. You should be able to forgive your team for not living up to your expectations and still winning. And it's something that I don't think is unique to Philadelphia, but it's something that seems to fester longer in the city of Philadelphia, where people are so upset for so long over a win. Just seems peculiar to me. And is there ever a day, as Ben Simmons is back as a player for the first time, and the most perfect low-pressure situation for him? No Harden, no Maxey, because you know you have to switch and cover those guys at times. And then no Embiid, if they had to play him at the five, you know Embiid's going to be loose with them elbows, putting one in the chest. Or higher, hopefully not, but you never know with Joel sometimes. And I actually like that because if somebody's going to play a guy that size, that close, you should have a physical toll to pay. But whatever, he doesn't worry about any of that. Really, the only thing he has to do is worry about Tobias Harris and the crowd. Will you ever, and we talked to Brandon Robinson, he's not in any mood for any apology. Will you ever forgive, show any forgiveness towards Ben Simmons? And so far, people have said no.
And I think that's the right way to approach it. I mean, we came up with a scenario that would never happen in a million years, and that would be what is needed, which is a full-on sincere apology at the podium where you could feel it was raw and genuine. And there's just no way in hell we'd ever get that. So, I mean, I think we're right to be stubborn in this situation. I can't see any other way that we would full-on turn a 180 on this guy. And we shouldn't. Do you think we should, though, Ty? That's my question to you. Because it seems you're more willing to maybe eventually get there than I thought you would.
Yeah, I'm learning. You know, they say that forgiving isn't really for that person. They say forgiving is for you. So they're saying, in theory, that if someone wrongs you, you forgiving that person really doesn't have anything to do with them. It means you stop holding on to it. I don't want to hold on to that guy, despite what he did. I want to be able to go, hey, whatever with that guy. That's what I've been trying to do lately. There's a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, like a handful of people where I'm now at the point where I'm like, you know what? Nah, I don't want any of that around. So I have to be able to let that go. And I'm trying to put Ben Simmons, despite all of the things he did wrong, and how it was 100% his fault, by the way. Anybody that tells him that it's less than 100% his fault is doing him a disservice. And I want to be able to just forgive and let that go.
Okay, so here's the second part to this. Do you feel at any point that Howie wronged you?
Well, I think
as a fan,
As a fan, I think at times he has,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so will you ever be able to forgive Howie?
Yeah, I already have forgiven
okay,
Howie.
I'm just trying to see Howie's turned it around. Okay.
Howie's turned it around. Howie's now firing on all cylinders outside of fist bump.
But I think he's got the fuse is short with him, though, compared to all the other people in the world.
I can tell you why.
Why is that?
He's one of those people where you only like him when he's doing the right thing.
That's correct.
He doesn't come off to me like a great, likable guy.
I would agree with this.
That's more what I mean. Like, hi, Roseman. Now, we'll check with the person who has, like, real feelings but in a moment. But Howie Roseman, to me, doesn't come off like a guy that, like, I don't want to have a beer with Howie Roseman.
Yeah, if things personally are going bad, I don't think the room with Howie Roseman at the top is going to be in a good spot.
Right. There's other people where you ride it out with them and you go, man, you know, you make mistakes, but I still love you, buddy.
Yeah.
Not Howie. But Howie's rolling.
I don't disagree with this.
Howie's rolling.
I don't disagree with this.
So, Jared, we're about to talk to D in Jersey, but are you Howie Roseman?
Yeah.
Okay. He made some mistakes along the way. Sometimes we've heard some stories about him waiting outside of players' meetings and kind of just jumping in there like, what were you guys talking about? Doing some weird things.
Mm.
You saw high fist bumps.
Which is a big part to this.
It is a big part. It needs to be considered.
Is he the type person that if things aren't going well, that personality makes you go, you know what? Let's just let's give Howie a second chance.
I'm with you. When he's up there, he is up there. Genius Howie Roseman. When he's not, no, he's way down here. And I do not want to have a beer with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm almost intrigued. What would that conversation be like? What beer does he go with? What does he order at the bar?
He waits for you to order.
You think he gets a cranberry vodka?
He tells you.
There's nothing wrong with a cranberry vodka, but I can see him ordering that.
I can tell you what he does. He hits you with, hey, boys, it's on me. And he says, hey, boys.
Right, of course he does.
Hey, boys, it's on me. Walks away like he's going to the bathroom or whatever. Hey, so what we drinking? You say, oh, I got a Miller Lite.
Okay.
Another guy says a Coors Light. Another guy says a Bud Light. That puts him in a jam.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, where do I go?
Uh-oh.
Where do I go?
He's hoping that he orders you one of what he had. Like what you had. Oh, we got him. Here it is. Here you go, buddy.
I got you a Miller Lite. Yeah, I got myself a Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I can see him playing that game.
He thinks he's a fellas. Get whatever you want, fellas.
Oh, he definitely does. I'll mix in a fellas.
It wasn't that that's bad. It's the tone. It's the Howie fellas. He walks away for a second and hopes that the beer's just there and he'll drink whatever. I don't think he has a discerning taste. Like, I can tell the difference between those three beers.
He does not have a discerning palate.
Yeah,
he ain't drinking, like, whiskey on the rocks.
No. So
maybe a nice Chardonnay here or there.
Yes. So what it's about is, in totality with all of this is, the sports forgiveness. Because none of this stuff is life or death. We take it very seriously. And we should, by the way. It's millions of dollars. Like, think about how invested we are. It's not that it shouldn't be serious. But when it comes to certain situations, I think we should be quicker to forgive and show a little forgiveness, because many times, like, the Eagles beating the Colts by one is not an earth-shattering, oh my goodness, this should stick with me type of thing. Yet for some fans, they're putting that into the pile of, this is why we're not going to win the Super Bowl. That, like, other people say, oh, well, they're over the game. What are you talking about? No. If you talk to somebody who says the Eagles aren't going to win the Super Bowl, when they cite their list of issues, they're going to use the Texas game, the Washington game, and the Colts victory, and the Texas victory. They're going to use two victories sandwiched around a loss as the reason why this team can't win a Super Bowl.
And when they watch other teams around the league, they don't keep that same view. They'll watch Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes come back in the fourth and make, that's special, that's amazing. But hold on a second. The first three quarters, they sucked and had three and outs. You don't view it the same way.
We don't view it the same way, and that's why we have to have forgiveness for close loss, for close wins.
You're getting tripped up
now. I'm getting tripped up because the thing I get upset about are losses. I love wins. Man, I can never not have another win. I can always use another win. D in Jersey, as we go back to the phones, appreciate your patience. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, D.
Hey, what's up, buddy, man? Hey, everybody, man. It's all love, man. Y'all just been having me crack up. I ain't even going to lie to you, man. Everybody that's been calling. I mean, I'm just over here dying. Then when you hang up the phone, priceless. When you tell them, all right, appreciate the call, it's priceless.
I'm trying to
because
I love him. I'm trying here, but you heard some of the things have been slightly difficult for me. A challenge. I'm being challenged.
I understand that completely.
Yes,
I do. And the problem is we're not realistic. So we're about to be realistic right now with this call.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. So let's start off with the Ben Simmons situation. He owes nobody an apology. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I'm 32. He's 25. It's not going to happen. I went to multiple Sixers games. And I literally sit behind that backboard and watch him play. He doesn't come out super aggressive and strong. Let's be honest.
You're right.
But the minute somebody, I've seen multiple fans, season ticket holders that sit back there, jump up and call him out his name at 25 years old. And at that time, we know he was, 22, 23?
Well, he's 26
so,
now.
Exactly.
He's
exactly.
26 now.
And we're talking about a young guy who had nothing to prove. He already knew he was going to the league.
Yeah, but hold on.
At what
Those
age?
Fans didn't At just call him age? Something out of his name for no reason. You shouldn't
no,
call
no,
him.
No, no, no. You know why you're calling him something out of his name? Because he's not putting the ball in the hoop.
No. We didn't even mind that. It wasn't that he wasn't shooting the ball to try to put it in the hoop. I think fans could have lived with misses.
No. Well, look.
Fans could have lived with misses. He wasn't even shooting.
When we're sitting at home watching it, we could live with that. But in that stadium, you have a handful. I'm not saying it's the entire gym. I said it's some fans that will jump up, and he literally will turn around, and I'm looking at his facial expression, and I'm like, oh, snap. Is he going to say something? And my little brother is sitting there with me because I took him there for his birthday. And he's just like, why do you call him a female dog?
Right, but that happens everywhere, though.
Jersey.
But that happens everywhere, though, D.
He's one of the best. At that time, I still think he's arguably one of the probably, he could get to the rim with ease at the point guard position.
So why didn't he do it against the Hawks in the playoffs his last series in Philadelphia?
Exactly. And I said the same thing when he only had, 6 points? When they had a chance to play. And
in the last four games, he played for the Sixers. I appreciate the call, D. He had 0 points in the fourth quarter.
P.J. Tucker's on a stretch of his own. Speaking of 0 points.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. 610-632-0975. Ed, you'll be first on the other side. And, but I listen, the isolated fan, wrong. For the most part, fans treated him far better than he deserved. All right? It'd be the equivalent of a woman kicking you out of the house one time if you cheated 79,000 times. And once she got mad at you and made you go back out from where you came from, that would be the equivalent. That dude cheated on the fans 68 out of 82 games for 4 or 5 years, plus in the playoffs out there in them streets in the equivalent. And he got told to go home one time, and that was enough for him to pack it in. Let's cut it out a little bit here. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. Thanksgiving Eve. Jen, we're about to get back to the phones, but you're headed out of town tomorrow morning.
Yes, bright and early tomorrow morning.
Headed down. Do you want to tell people the little game you play or no?
Oh, with checking in?
Yeah.
On this.
You want to hear this? No, I want you to share this if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
Before we go back to the phones, share with your situation because you're flying Southwest.
Yes.
Which I'm not judging that. I don't have an issue.
Yeah.
And explain.
You get 2 bags for free. Still, they don't charge you for bags. That's where I go. Direct flight to Atlanta.
I have no issues with Southwest. Yeah. No, I wasn't saying that. No.
But the thing with Southwest is you can pay the $15 to check in early, or you can check in 24 hours ahead of time and get placed into, your ABC category.
Because
and then your number.
Assigned seats. So if you go on A, if somebody doesn't know,
right.
If you're A, you're kind of guaranteed to get a decent seat.
Right.
If you're in C,
that ain't happening.
You're just walking there hoping and you gotta.
It's middle seat all the way. You see both rows.
Yeah.
All middle seats are open.
Excuse me. You're just looking for the smallest people at that point.
So I take it on myself as a personal challenge to check in exactly 24 hours ahead of my flight. So my alarm was set for 6:47 a.m. this morning. because my flight leaves at 6:50, so my alarm went off.
I would never.
Wanted you to get inside the mind of what Jed Scordo. Go right ahead.
I'm in bed. My alarm goes off. I pull my phone up. I pull the Southwest app up, and when it went from 6:49 to 6:50, boom! I hit check in. I got A57. I pride myself on making it into the A group. There are only 60 spots. Now, I got A57.
Now, with that in mind, you hear that. Now, was it $50 to get A? How much did you say?
No, it's $15 if you want the early bird check-in.
So, what Jen could do,
I would bet
rather than set the alarm and do all that, she could pay not $50, which all of us would do something to say $50. $15, and she can sleep in, whatever, doesn't have to set a special alarm, the whole nine. But to save $15, $15, Jen does that.
Now, Jen, how many times have you done this and gotten a letter you didn't want to see?
I've always made it into the A category.
So she is batting 1,000.
I've never made it outside of the 50s, though. It's always A52,
because I was thinking,
57. Somebody pays is an A20.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they get the really good seats.
Well, how would you feel, and I guess you've never had this experience before, if you didn't get the A, you go, damn it, I should have paid the $15.
I have been in the C and D category before when I did not take on this challenge.
Yeah.
I decided once that happened, that was it. I'm never doing that again. I accept this challenge is what's going to happen.
Why is this method better than just spending $15?
I don't know. It's principle in one way or another.
I'm almost rooting for you to have to sit and see it next time.
6:45 is not too early, though. No.
What?
Well, my flight for Christmas is at 5 a.m. I'm going to pay the $15 for a five. I'm not going to wake up at 5 a.m. 24 hours ahead of time to check.
Right.
That I will pay the $15
for. Now you think I'm a bad person, Ty.
I'm not root for Jen to have to sit in the middle seat in
Thank you.
But
it's like going up there and trying to hit lefty when you're a right-handed batter. You're not putting yourself in the best position to succeed.
That is a fair point.
Well,
you're Jonathan Gannon playing Darius Slay 20 yards off the receiver.
It's just an exercise in futility.
Yeah, you're too smart for this. That's why I have
the challenge.
Issue.
It's a challenge. I need to challenge myself in life. It's good for my brain.
It's good for
my human nature.
Pick and choose the challenges. This one's not one that you need to be battling.
I chose to wake up at 6:47 this morning.
So,
and it worked.
With that in mind, in addition to what we've been talking about, 610-632-0975, what are small or petty things you do to save a buck? Jen,
it's
just
not about saving the money.
At the end of the day,
it's
you're saving
$15.
If it was free, would you say it's the challenge, or would you just do it at that time?
No, I think I would still think of it as a challenge.
That way.
I think it's a challenge. I have to make it into that A group. If I made it into B, if I was B1, I would be disappointed in myself.
Here's the crazy part. The last time I flew Southwest was to Boston, and I had no trouble. My defense, the plane wasn't full. And then they stopped doing that flight because it was like $8. And I took a round trip to Boston. And I had like the whole road to myself.
That's great.
I just strode on the plane. But I don't know.
I will not have a whole road to myself tomorrow. Flying tomorrow is the worst idea.
It's the busiest travel day of the year. At least you get up there early. Some people will be in later in the afternoon. It's worse. Let's go back to the foes. Ed in Wilmington. You're on 97.5 to Fanatic.
Is that me, Tyrone?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Ed?
Good. Jen? I like what you did. I think it's cool. I probably wouldn't do it, but I like that you did it.
Thank you.
That's a nice way of saying your idea is horrendous. I think that's what he's saying.
Backward compliment.
A little bit.
Just cut from a different cloth, but I like that she did it.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, listen, so forgiveness, you know?
Yeah.
There's only a couple games. And it's Sunday against the Colts. I never felt we were going to lose that game. I did not feel we were going to lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
1 point is pretty close. But with that quarterback, I knew that we'd probably get it done. And then the Phillies, I'm still getting over that. You know, the losses that in Tampa Bay and 2010, the Flyers, there's some, but you eventually get over them. But you know what? I got a feeling that Aaron Rodgers is going to get a real good look at the Eagles wearing the black Sunday night. I do not think the Packers are good.
you can, it's probably what, seven? I think I heard seven was the line.
I think it's, seven.
Yeah, seven, yeah. Six and a half, depending on where, maybe, but regardless.
Here's Ed in Wilmington's prediction. He goes down three times, and Sue will be in on one of them.
I actually believe that. That guy looks in shape and ready to roll. He's huge. Like, he's huge, but not huge. Like, Joseph is huge in a more traditional fashion. Sue is huge.
To win. I've seen some bad Packer games.
They're not good.
They're not good this year.
The only fear is you let that quarterback get comfortable.
And they did find a receiver.
They found a kid at home.
Yeah, they did. Jets, though, they're not as bad as they've been in the
past. We're going to roll them Sunday night. I really think they do. So do I.
Yeah, I think they do. Thanks for the call. Have a good holiday, Ed.
They're 4-7 on the season.
Yeah, they just lost again after they saved their season, quote-unquote. Yeah.
It was Watson. That's the kid who, they found.
Yeah, he was the one who dropped the ball week one and that kind of set them in the direction that they're in. Unless Gannon's. And he's back there with all this time all comfortable. I just don't see a path for the Packers to win that game. 610-632-0975. We'll talk to Dante and Sean, update our Twitter poll, and then later on in the segment have What's Brewing on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. Tyrone, Hunter, and Jen here today. Ricky out on the road. Let's update our Twitter poll. We have two of them today with Jen Scorta.
We do. Number one is, who scares you the most in the NFC? Right now, the Vikings sit at 4%. Nobody cares about the Vikings. Yeah. 7% with Tom Brady. And so close today, 43% the Cowboys and 46% the 49ers.
That disrespect, what was the Tom Brady percentage?
7.
A little disrespectful.
I agree.
Like, I know we don't like him, but if they find a way to get in, tell me there's not some Brady-related anxiety in a playoff situation with Tom Brady this year.
There's always going to be, no matter what. It's Tom Brady. All the guy does is win when it matters most. But if we asked the same question after Dallas lost to Green Bay, we'd be saying 0% Dallas.
Maybe.
Like, that's what's crazy about the one win. And that's why I think it's crazy when they react a certain way after the Eagles win, but it doesn't look the same way they want it to.
Right. And the Vikings, by the way, the Cowboys didn't beat them. That was a schedule win. Any team that I called it. Any team that played them after the way they acted a fool after they beat Buffalo.
They sure did.
They could have played the Pennsauken Youth Athletic Association 135-pound champs, and they'd have lost because they weren't focused because they treated like the Super Bowl.
And the line told you that. The line was bizarre. People were like, what? Dallas is favored on the road, this and that. It's like they saw something.
No,
they knew
something.
It.
And then what's the other poll?
The second poll is, are you a fan of the Eagles' all-black uniforms? And there is a little bit of green. We were discussing that ahead of time. The collar, and there is a stripe of white and green down the side of the pants.
Don't need that for next year.
Otherwise, it's all black helmets. I think the black helmets are spot on. But are you a fan of the all-black uniforms?
What do people say?
People are saying, no way, it's 16%. 84% say, heck yeah.
It's actually a decent amount.
Yeah.
More than I thought. Wouldn't like it. What's not the like on black? I'm confused.
I don't know.
I'm with you, though. The green is a darker shade of green where it's not like, whoa, it's so much darker. But that wouldn't be enough, I think, to change the numbers.
No. It's just, like when they wear the Kelly green, like 1 week, let's say, and they go wear the black the next week, maybe then I'll be like, whoa, that's so different. That green, the green is too dark on the helmet to me to make the black helmet really pop the way it would. And for merchandising purposes, I'm not buying a helmet.
You can't do anything with it.
No, there's people that do. You've seen people that they have the different helmets and they put it all in their room and they got shelves and stuff. Yeah, I'm not about that.
I like the white jersey.
You know what? I can't really hang those type of shelves. I know how, but like I don't have all the tools where you have to like do like the rivets.
The floating shelves?
Yeah.
Where I bought two the day we bought the house. Still sitting there.
I don't know how to hang them. Yeah, I know what to do. Yeah. But I don't, and you have to put like the dowels in there and you have to stick it on there with the glue and all that stuff and get it all. No. Like I know what to do, but I'm going to mess that up.
It got to the point where I tried. I messed it up. I tried to use the double-sided sticky tape.
And it holds for a while.
And then it just dropped in the middle of the night. So everything I had on it, which was like, you know, just nonsense or whatever, fell to the ground. It's a mess.
Probably scare the crap out of you in the middle of the night if that happens.
Yeah, it's got to be better than that. Yeah,
I know how to do it. I've seen it on like HGTV. Oh, it's easy. Or This Old House. Or PBS, they'll show you like how to do stuff. But these steps, they'll just go, oh, you know, you just get out your mortar and tour. Like, what? Mortar? What? Oh, slow down. What is it? Mortar?
You just have this in your garage.
So I'm just going to get a bucket with the water and stuff and mix this up and know how to. And then get your lathe. What? Who?
What?
Yeah. What are you trying to teach me this sort of stuff for? Like, this is for that. Some of those shows are for carpenters.
Yes.
And if you're a carpenter, you already know how.
And you got all the tools.
Right.
Yeah, I'm so anti. I'm not the big around the house guy. I need something fixed. Yeah, I'll call the guy to come help or the woman to come help. I ain't doing it myself.
I've told myself for 3 weeks now to install a smart thermostat in my house, and I'm too scared. I'm scared that I'm going to blow the house up. I'm going to electrocute myself.
That sounds like a Jen answer.
I do feel like I can do it. In my heart of hearts, I feel like I can do it. I need to watch some YouTube videos. I got this, but it scares me with the electricity.
I bought one. I couldn't put it in because the pins didn't line up. But that wasn't my fault.
Right,
it was supposed to be you could kind of pull this one off, have everything set, stick it on, and then you could do stuff with your phone. Couldn't even get to the point where the pins, because you'd have to, like, buy something and then take wires to a new set of pins.
Oh, yeah.
I'm out.
Jumping the wires or something like that.
Let the man do that. Yep. You gotta let the guy do that. So I can hang a TV. I got a certain
See, I hired somebody to do that.
That's more than most.
I attempted to hang a TV, and it didn't go well.
Oh, I did do flooring.
You did flooring.
I did flooring. I have proof.
Like jack of all trades.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I did that.
Oh, wow. Now, how long did that take you to do?
That was one day.
One day?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not bad.
I put it online one time. It's the only thing. It was 2016. That I know how to do.
Will you ever do it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I do that again.
There are some things that are just worth paying for somebody else to do.
I can't do the trim work, though.
No, trim work is hard.
I can't do the trim work.
And that, you need the right tools, too.
Right. I don't have the tools to do the trim work. So the floor itself, like in the middle of the floor, just don't look at the corners. That still is not right, because I can't do the trim work.
It's hard.
It's tough out there. All you, like, manly guys that can do that, I respect you.
I do, too.
I gotta respect you. And ladies, too.
Yeah.
I respect you even more, actually. Nothing wrong with a lady with a work belt.
That's right. High viz, hard hat. Steel toe boots.
Hey.
There you go. Yeah, now we're talking. Let's go back to the phones. Dante and Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Kai, what's up?
How you doing, Dante?
I'm doing great. Happy holidays to all of you.
Happy holidays.
You as well.
Yeah. And Jen Hunter, a nice addition. Ty, I'm glad you got your own gig because you got a big voice, man.
Well, thank you.
And we'd like to hear you. And I'm glad you're doing well. As far as Eagles go,
yes,
we're looking great. I mean, I don't see any problems with the Eagles. I think all the problems that we foresee are just like, I hate to say the word, Megadelphia, you know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. And Anthony Gargano, this came up earlier on his show, and he's saying that Philadelphia is more manic than negative. The reason I slightly disagree is our highs are not as high as our lows are. Our lows are lower than our highs are. If we were truly manic, you would be able to basically see on a 1 to 10 high and then a negative 10 and a plus 10 and a negative 10. What we see is we play plus 2s with the occasional plus 10, but we stay at negative 10 often.
I think we've changed as a fan base since the Super Bowl. I mean, I know I have, because when I was watching that Super Bowl, I was sure they were going to win.
I mean, I wasn't one of those people at the end of the game where, oh, my God, Tom Brady's throwing a Hail Mary pass. Oh, my God, we're going to lose.
Oh, I agree.
No, I knew we were going to win that game.
I was locked in when they got the strip sack. It was over for me. I wasn't worried about that Hail Mary and all that stuff.
No, I wasn't worried about that.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about that. What do you have on the Sixers real fast, Dante?
The Sixers, do you think Ben would be playing tonight this and Bieber in?
Yeah, I think he played. Now,
really?
Yeah, would he play as well? No, but I think tonight he'll probably do some stuff because it's no pressure. He'll just be able to run up and down the floor. He doesn't have to worry about having to really check a really tough score. Thanks for the call. You know, switching on Harden, switching on Maxey, having to switch on Embiid and stuff like that, that would affect him. He doesn't do any of that. He just guards Tobias straight up at times and just calls it good. So he'll have a nice game tonight. With no pressure, and Barkley and Shaq and Kenny won't notice who didn't play for the Sixers, and they'll give them tons of love, and that'll be that, because that show is pre-read. Sean in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello?
Hello, Sean.
What's up, Sean?
No, this is Chuck again, Todd.
This is Chuck?
This is Chuck?
Chuck, yeah.
All right, well, what's up? What's up, Chuck?
I think the last time I was trying to say the same thing you were saying. Like, they not going to be able to get the real view of what the bench look like except for certain matchups.
When did you call before, like, Chuck?
Huh?
When did you call before?
Yeah.
When, I'm asking?
I called a little while ago. You hung up?
Oh, no, I didn't. I said thanks for the call. Now, that time I did, but that's because you can't call twice in a day or in a show. That wasn't me. I mean, I had to. That's rules is rules. First time, I didn't hang up on him. He was the one who would say that
we had to look at tonight's game and then make decisions based off it.
When personnel.
Melton and who else is going to start for them? Would it be Daniel? What would be the starting
It's going to be probably
Melton, right?
Tobias,
PJ Tucker.
And one of the
sons. Or Reed.
I guess they'll go Harrell.
Probably.
They'll probably go Harrell, and then that'll be the starting five. And I'm saying you're not going to make personnel decisions based on that because
that would get you fired.
Yeah, you can't. Like, all right, I see what you got to do with your roster. Like, yeah, but these guys were pieces to play around those other guys and just be complimentary to those guys. And under that, guys, how funny would it be, though, if Tobias coming fresh off the hip was to torch Ben and get like 40 tonight.
Well, I know Luka is a totally different level, but I've seen Ben Simmons get crossed up defensively over the last couple of weeks. Maybe Tobias digs into his bag a bit. Hit him with a crossover, finish at the rim.
They won't. If he gets 40 on Ben tonight and the Sixers somehow were to steal this game, you couldn't trade him. Because Harris is in trade rumors all the time.
Yeah, just because his contract.
Yeah, he comes out of those trade rumors in Philadelphia. If he busts Ben's butt and finds a way to carry the squad to a victory.
Watch it happen.
He's out there. I'll tell you what. If he does that, tomorrow will be National Tobias Harris Day. I tell you that. All right, it's time for us to step aside. We'll get to Josh and Mark in just a little bit. Because we need to find out what's brewing with Jen.
All right. We are going to start today with the World Cup.
Okay.
Remember how last week we talked about how Budweiser was a huge sponsor of the World Cup, and then Qatar reversed everything and said, sorry, no alcohol is going to be served here.
Yes.
And Budweiser was kind of like, yeah, what do? They've got a lot of beer on their hands.
Yeah.
So they've decided that they are going to, well, first they put out a tweet when all of this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Budweiser put out a tweet saying, well, this is awkward.
Yeah.
...
Yeah.
They later deleted the tweet. I don't know why. I thought it was really great. They followed the tweet up on Saturday with a picture of Budweiser crates of beer.
Yeah.
Saying, new day, new tweet, winning country gets the Buds. So whoever wins the World Cup is getting all of the beer that Budweiser was supplying before Qatar cut it off.
That's pretty smart because...
Yeah, great marketing, again.
They'll know ahead of time, and Brazil's favored now. So imagine Brazil gets all that beer, with how those commercials will look. Because they'll show the beaches.
Right.
They'll show the rainforest. They'll show all that stuff like they did during the Olympics. Only now it'll be a big Budweiser commercial.
There you go.
Get out of that.
Beautiful women, beautiful men drinking Budweiser in Brazil.
Yeah.
Crazy people doing crazy things in Brazil drinking Budweiser.
I just thought of something with Brazil. Some of those bathing suits naturally pretty brief. Like it's just natural.
The Brazilian cut. Yeah.
So, like
it's been a thing for a long time, ladies.
Well, right. Yeah. Like, and for the fellas, too, they're not exactly wearing board shorts.
Right.
So, Hunter, you live in Brazil.
Yeah.
You and the missus, you decide to go there. You're doing all these big bros media stuff in Brazil for whatever reason. Your wife's working from, she can do that.
Okay.
Do you end up wearing the small, like, small draws to swim?
Nah, I can't. Well, we were in Greece. We saw a lot of the nude beaches. And I'm like, I don't think I could ever be in a position where I think I'm going to rock that.
You're there for years. I'm saying you live in Brazil, not vacation. You're not gonna shorten up
this
them
shorts. This
is
now your culture.
Yeah.
I think it your would take me a very long. I still don't think I would, no. I don't think I would.
What about you? You live in Brazil.
Oh, 100% I'd be into it.
You did.
Oh, yeah. And it wouldn't take me long.
Give me a vacation for a week, and if I lived there,
I'd probably have the small trunks on.
Yeah.
When in Rome.
Yeah, you don't want to stand out like everybody else.
Yeah, I just
want to be like everybody else.
It forces you to get in shape. Like, now, not everybody, but for you, because you would be bringing American sensibilities to that. I feel like you'd have to, tighten
it
up.
Okay, well, let me change the narrative a little bit. Let's say it's a nude beach. Do you think you'd ever go and live in a spot where the nude beach is and you just go all the time?
Yeah, all the time, but I would think I'd feel nude.
I don't know. Maybe
I would have an easier time
doing that than the short.
Yeah,
really?
But it's not quite a speedo. They're just smaller.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm envisioning a little smaller than the actual.
It's like like almost looks like European cut.
Well, the last thing I want to do on these work computers is start Googling what this looks like.
The women, it's not quite a thong,
right,
but it's small.
Well, the women, different story.
Well, that's right, because you're looking, but I'm saying, like, I'm just wondering, I would go with the culture if I lived there.
Maybe eventually I would get out of the comfort zone.
I think you would,
and it would become, normal.
Because I think you would start to feel weird if you did it.
Maybe.
Because they say at nude beaches, at some point, they claim that the clothed start to feel weird when everyone else is nude. That's what they say.
I think that makes sense.
So I have been to a nude beach before. I've been to a topless beach before. I went topless on both of them. I didn't go full nude. Did not feel that comfortable going full nude. But there were a lot of people that were Americans there in this, European city that were not topless either. So I didn't feel like I needed to go full on nude.
Right.
But there were a lot of nude people there. A lot of that probably shouldn't have been nude.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
It's the freedom, I guess. That's the freedom.
But then I think I've told this story before. I felt uncomfortable when children came around. And I was like, shoot.
But apparently
put that top right back on. Right.
Apparently they grew up around that.
Yeah.
To them, it's not a big deal.
To me, it makes
You're
me uncomfortable. Right.
And that's the American thing.
Yep.
Where we can't see like a buttock, but we can literally see a man bite a tongue out at 8:02 on Fox. I'll never forget that episode of 24 where Jack Bauer bit a man's tongue out. It was like 8:02. I'm like, kids might think they're still up to 8:02.
Children are still awake.
And that was cool. But if he showed his butt cheeks, it'd be a congressional hearing.
Terrible thing.
It's like, come on, man.
Meanwhile, my girlfriends are degenerate gamblers, and we are in a World Cup bracket.
Yeah.
I auto-bracketed.
Yeah.
And I have Japan winning. I have no idea if that's going to happen
or
not.
No, it's not going to happen.
Japan's not winning
the World Cup.
I didn't think so, but there you go. All right, moving on to spam. I feel like we talk about spam a lot here on this show. We're all fans, except Tyrone. Spam is coming out with figgy pudding. It's here for the holidays.
Spam figgy pudding.
Spam figgy pudding. So
now what is that?
Dylan and I talked about this pre-show. We're assuming that there's no ham, that it's just figgy pudding the way, like, across the pond they talk about pudding. It's just kind of dessert.
Figgy pudding?
I'm assuming that it's kind of like a light fruit cake.
That's
nuts,
what that is?
I'm thinking like Fig Newtons. It has nothing to do with that fig.
I would think so. I think there are figs in it. I think there are nuts. But it's like a light cake. Like a light cake.
Okay.
Like a fruit cake, but lighter.
So canned cake.
Canned cake. That's what I'm assuming. They're saying that it has flavors of orange, fig, cinnamon, clove, nutmeg, ginger, and allspice.
Cloves.
All right. Well,
that goes with nutmeg and cinnamon, though.
There's ham in it. And since we established where...
I don't think any ham's in it.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Dylan said he checked it.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Well, he did see that it's available at Walmart.com. Spam.com already sold out of it. Amazon already sold out of it. eBay has it at double the price that you should pay for it. But Dylan did see it on Walmart.
Well, since we are a friend show, it kind of reminds me...
Oh, Dylan bought it.
He bought
it. Oh, he did. Oh.
We're going to have to try it.
That's still
that episode of Friends where Monica let Rachel make yes, and there's all those different layers.
Oh, yeah,
because
the pages got stuck together.
And Joey likes
it. Yeah, because all of a sudden, it's like all the sweet stuff it did is ground beef.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. She put
and Joey's like, cream. What's not the like? Yeah. Beef, good. Jam, good. Yeah.
You did perfect,
Joey.
Yeah,
that was
Joey
pretty
there.
Good, Joey.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
So we'll have to try it. That was now a good Joey. The Dylans bought it. We'll have to try it. We like trying things here. That's all right, great. And I'm going to end with a honeymoon. You're on your honeymoon, 2 weeks in a beautiful island. You think it's going to be great. It was ruined because the bride got stung by the world's most venomous fish, which is a stonefish.
Oh, I've heard about this. I heard this is pretty bad sea.
It's bad, and they look exactly like the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
it
can't
looks
see
like
them.
A stone sitting on the bottom
so
of the
she
ocean.
She stepped on it.
She stepped on it. She was on a snorkeling trip. Unfortunately, the captain of the boat said they were taking a break on the beach, laying around. She got hot. She said, I want to jump in the water. Should I put my sea shoes on, ocean shoes, whatever those shoes are called, beach shoes? And the snorkeling guy or the captain of the boat said, nah, don't worry about it. You don't need it here. She gets in the water, walks through, and steps on the stonefish. Ruined her entire honeymoon, 2 week honeymoon. She obviously had to call a doctor. It took over an hour for the doctor to get where they were. He rushed her to the hospital. This fish can kill you. I mean, it's not just like painful. It can kill you. And not instantly, but pretty quickly. So she had to wait an hour. Then they get her to the hospital. She was in the hospital for a long time. They had to do not like surgery, but they had to make some incisions where she stepped on the fish and like got the venom, drain the venom. And she was on antibiotics. So she spent her 2 week honeymoon basically on bed rest. Then she gets on the plane to come back home, and the pressure and everything, her foot swelled up. Oh. The poor thing.
I was hoping Bryce should get surgery done. That's what I learned.
What do we learn? Stay out of the ocean.
Stay out of the ocean.
I'm telling you.
Or wear your little ocean shoes.
I pick my spots with the ocean, man.
I'm not staying out of the ocean.
And I'm at the beach. I pick my spots with the ocean. Even in Miami, there was one day where I went all out with the seaweed and stuff. There's a lot of seaweed down in Miami Beach.
Yeah.
A lot of that. One day, I pick my spots. I can't be going in the ocean every day because I feel like I'm tempting fate.
I jumped in the ocean in, this would have been the U.S. Virgin Islands, or the British Virgin Islands, where
so many of them.
All these trips.
I was on a similar snorkeling trip, and so we had this big catamaran, and I jumped off the boat with a barracuda catamaran.
You were on a catamaran.
We paid
you
to go
on
all day. There were 30 people on there. You pay your money and you go all out together. Anyway, sure. They said a barracuda is under the boat. Just leave it alone. It'll leave you alone. The barracuda, I was 6 or 7
feet.
You ever
been near a barracuda
huge.
Before?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
And I was like, all right, well, when in Rome, I jump in and swam around, just left it alone. It just hovered under the boat. It was crazy.
See, my issue with the snorkeling is I feel like I sink. So I start swimming, and I'm snorkeling and stuff. I go get up to the top. I sink naturally.
You sink naturally.
Can't float.
I never did the snorkel.
Snorkeling's fun.
I don't because of the possibility of death by sinking. I don't float.
Not by a shark or anything, or a stonefish, no.
Sink.
By sinking.
Well, you probably have a higher percentage of the sink than the stonefish,
maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
I'm worried about that. So then I'm like in a life jacket with a snorkel.
Yeah, that's not bad. I've done that before.
Well, that's what I'd have to do.
Yeah.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
Because I'm not trying to.
Because there are people that dive with the snorkel and like hold the water from coming in their mouth and then come out and shoot the water out of their snorkel. I can't do that. I've tried. I would kill myself drowning trying to do that. So I've snorkeled with a life jacket before plenty of times.
I got to have the life jacket.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to go out.
There's
like
no shame in that game.
I would be the first black person in modern history to die in the ocean. And I refuse to let that happen. I refuse.
I don't want that to happen to you.
Yes, neither do I.
You're welcome.
All right. I refuse to let that. What's it? In the ocean? What? No, no way. Nobody going to be putting that in the damn obituary. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour coming up. We'll have your phone calls. We're going to have the question of the day. A lot of stuff. And maybe a surprise. Who knows? We'll be back here on 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. So to be no Jeff Mosher, but this is all Jeff Mosher's fault today because Jeff Mosher didn't tell us.
That's right.
He texted us.
Right.
During the show.
1:59.
It was close to 2 o'clock.
He was too busy listening to his Nas. That's what he does.
Yeah, it's boom bap.
He loves it. He loves it.
Specific type of thing.
Yes.
Yes, but he's supposed to be on 5:33, but he didn't tell us ahead of time. But that's whatever. The word of the day is forgiveness. We forgive him.
Yes, we do.
We do forgive him.
We forgive him.
It's a holiday week. It's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Chaotic.
Forgiveness. I've been talking about how it's something that we noticed, and you guys all noticed, that we don't really forgive fans. Fans don't forgive teams when they don't win by enough. And that's peculiar. And also, with Ben Simmons returning tonight, obviously the game much less important without your top three scorers. And Tobias, we don't know what you're going to get from him just because he's been down with the injury as well. Is there anything, or will time pass where you forgive Ben Simmons? Because if he's on the Nets long term, he's going to be coming in here multiple times a year, year after year. And obviously the heat will drop, but will we ever, I'm asking, get to the place of forgiveness with one Ben Quitter Simmons?
Well, I asked you earlier how you felt, and you said you need to get over it because it's healthier for you individually.
Yeah.
What do you think the fans feel about this?
I think most fans would like Sixers win a title plus him to really fall on his face. At some point, Philadelphia fans would feel pity for him, and pity would lead to forgiveness. I don't think Philadelphia people like to kick somebody when they're down.
Well, I will admit, in the beginning of the season, when he looked that bad and that out of sorts, which makes sense because he hasn't played basketball for so long, there was a time where the national media was destroying him to such a level, there was a soft spot that was starting to open up. Then he started to play better. Then it's like, okay, I hate this guy again. But, yeah, there it was a tiny, tiny little portion of me that's like, damn, I'm starting to feel better. Like, this becomes more of just a human being level, you know? But he also put himself in that position.
He absolutely did. This is all his fault. This is all his fault. All of it. 100% of it. It's not on Embiid, not on Doc Rivers, not on Philly fans, and all the other people that he blamed on the way out the door. And I just find it odd that he would have this much beef with Philly, realizing that his brother, he talked about this, lives here. And not only does he live here, he's going to live here because I believe his brother's future wife or current wife, whatever it is, but they're together. I think they have kids, is from here and wants to be here because all her family's here. Mm. So he's going to have to, in order to see his brother, he might have to come to Philly for the next 20 years.
He doesn't want to do that. Now,
but he may have to.
Is Ben seeing anyone right now?
I think he's the video game controller. I don't think so.
Okay. I haven't heard anything.
Him and his fiance broke up.
Okay. Because I'm curious if he's playing better now. I'm just trying to see if there's any correlations on where he is.
He should probably stay out them streets.
I agree. I think that hurts him.
Yeah.
He needs to stay. For what it's worth, for him individually, I'm saying, probably needs to just focus on the hoops.
I agree.
Yeah, and that's why I would make a blanket rule for pro athletes. And there's always exceptions, but, like these dudes should stay single till they're, like, at least till they're, like, 30. And some should till their career's over.
Well, if you can pull date a Jeter. Kendall Jenner. You know what I'm saying?
Listen.
Stop Devin Booker from dropping 50.
Does anybody know if Jeter addressed the gift baskets in his documentary?
I didn't see the
documentary. I've only saw bits and pieces because I never got clarification. I told you I'm boycotting it if he didn't talk about the gift baskets.
He's got a nice roster.
Well, yeah. But he was in control of that situation. For some reason, when it comes to these women, I feel like Ben's not in control.
I agree with you. And Ben is the common denominator in all of his relationships. He dates women that are very strong, very opinionated, very successful, very career driven, and they all seem to drop him at the drop of a hat. So
and then not stay single.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about this the British girl. I don't know. I'm not over there. I'm not in the England streets like that.
Maya Jama.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what she's
I don't know what
to.
She's doing either.
But I mean, you know, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
That's right. It's an American holiday.
Yeah, neither does Ben, being that he's Australian. So maybe on Thursday they'll have a little chat. Who knows? Rekindle it.
He did say, as well as his brother, he has a lot of best friends. He used the word best friends that still live in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So he's here, going to be here.
And that's where I just don't understand why you wouldn't throw in a, maybe, see, if he plays good, well, tonight, he'll go at a press conference and he'll do a little half apology.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, but there would be a shift.
I got a lot of love for Philly.
A shift in tone.
You know, and also, you know, another thing that would win us over, and I know because we're suckers for stuff, if he would just speak with his Australian accent.
If he came out and
went full Crocodile Dundee, yeah, people would soften on him. I don't know if you can be mad at Crocodile Dundee.
I think I agree with you.
If Ben came out and said, that's not a knife, this is like, if he did that, I feel like people would go,
hey,
I don't know if
you
can stay mad at Crocodile Dundee.
I don't think he can.
He should have leaned way more into that Australian accent.
Well, the problem is we've heard him speak our language so long that you can't flip-flop now.
It comes out sometimes, so he should just lean into it.
Yeah, you hear little words every once in a while. Yeah, lean into him. Go for it, buddy.
I'm not moving my emotions based off of an accent.
But, that's not a three.
No, this is a three.
Now tell me if he did that. If he made it three tonight and it went to the press conference in full Crocodile Dundee, did it? Tell me you wouldn't think about forgiving him.
You have to laugh. You would have to.
You would have to laugh.
You would. I know everybody would be like, "Oh, all right, all right."
I'd laugh, but I don't think I'm moving the needle.
Not even a little bit.
No.
So accents don't move you in any way.
Not really.
Huh?
That's interesting.
You're an outlier.
Well, it depends on what it is.
All right. Because remember, this is a harmless game. If they were to lose, we're not going to be mad because everybody's missing. If he did it on it, like in Harden's face or something, then you're angry. These guys aren't even playing.
Yeah.
Tonight would be his opportunity.
Right. Boom. And then
take
do it.
It.
That's not a three. And then do it like when he talks to Chuck with he's got the headset on and go full Australia.
Oh, so now we got to watch him have a post-game interview after a dominant performance?
Well, I mean, who else are they going to talk to?
Kyrie.
That would be dumb.
Next thing you know what he's going to be talking about.
Kevin Durant, maybe?
I think Ben's going to be the interview tonight. Let's go back to the phones. Josh in the Northeast. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Joshua.
How you doing, sir? Long time, first time.
Thank you.
Which is surprising because I'm back to the Mike Miss days in COVID, and I was so bored not being able to go nowhere. I used to take notes and with stuff I would say to call in, but never did. But Jen's story made me call in.
Well, go ahead.
So, our my mom's petty thing, beautiful, great, wonderful woman. Her petty thing on Route 1, that $1 toll coming from Trenton to PA.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
She would not pay the $1. Instead, she would take the last exit and take the Trenton makes.
Yes, but that's so narrow, and then you're out of the way. You're right. You dropped off from that bridge right into a neighborhood. You got to drive all around. It takes way longer.
Here's the thing. Not from where we were going. I wasn't with her at the time of the story, but going to Trenton makes, that adds about 20 minutes to your destination.
That's what I mean. It takes significantly longer. Even though the bridges are right there, paying the dollar saves you a ton of time.
Yeah, and gas, right? I mean, you're going to end up spending more.
Yeah, the Trenton makes bridge. You can see it. It's all close, but it's worlds of difference.
I commend your mother.
But she would not pay that $1.
Good for her.
So you did that story. And I told this to my uncle. We're coming back from Rutgers.
Yeah.
And we're taking the $1 like normal human beings.
Yeah.
And we get stuck. We get across it. There's some accident. But the whole freaking road is closed.
Right.
We're stuck there. So I'm telling the story as we're literally in parking traffic telling the story. We're stuck so long. He's texting my aunt about his return time for dinner or whatever. He's got to re-update her because we're going to be that much longer because we're sitting in traffic. And I'm telling this story about before we get to the $1 toll, the story about how stupid it is to go around.
and now you're in a jam. Man, that's a great story, Josh.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Jen, you hit me with that story, with your story with the airlines, and I was like, I got to call in.
Man, that's fantastic. That's a great story, Josh. Have a good holiday, buddy. To save a dollar, like, okay, there was traffic that one day. But I've done that. Like, it's going to that bridge. It's way slower.
When you say you've done that, you've done what? You've done the $1 dive?
Yeah, and the other one, yeah, because...
Because you didn't want to spend the $1?
No, never because of that.
Okay.
It was like actually going to a place right off of that bridge. I was actually going to a place where you make a turn in the neighborhood and you literally go down the road and boom, you're right there.
A $1 toll is basically a no toll. Is that a bad logic by me?
I mean, it's still a dollar.
If you take it 5 days a week, it's $5.
True, but you're on my side.
Right,
I take five to Walt Whitman every day.
Look at Jen quibbling.
Well, see?
And that's why she didn't spend 15 for the bag.
If there was a way for me to get from New Jersey to Bala Cynwyd without paying a toll, I would probably do it.
Even if it was 20 minutes longer.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
610-632-0975. You got to value your time slightly more. You don't value your time. We'll be back on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. Before we get back to the phones, let's re-up the question of the day. Phone number 610-771-9705, 610-771-9705. Jen, what is the question of the day today?
What is your favorite Thanksgiving side and your least favorite Thanksgiving side?
Yes. Now, the other part is, and this is what's tough about families, in couple situations, whether it's whatever, it's two people, you got the two sides of the family, and that's a lot of landmines there, because you can't speak freely about the quality of the food outside of liking it, and you don't want to lean into liking it too much, because then they'll make it all the time.
Specifically for you, because you said how great it was, how much you loved it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to be a little careful there. A lot of landmines with your mmm. You do a little too much mmm. They're making that for you. If it's not the turkey, if it's anything else, you're going to see that recurring quite a bit.
Now, if you only had two options, either you play that card where you like it, but you don't want them to know you like it too much, where it comes off where maybe you don't enjoy it, or it's obnoxiously you love it, which one would you rather have?
Depends on the personality. I can't be too over the top because people see right through it.
Yeah. They're like, Ty's faking
it. I'm in a jam. You guys can be all into Jen. Oh, Jen can be like, this is, you got to listen to me. It is literally. And everybody will just believe her.
That's
like,
true.
It can slide that in. I couldn't do that.
Nope.
I couldn't do that. But that's the thing about these holidays. You got to pick your spots. Like, even if you like it, you got to think about it. All right, you see them Christmas time. Now, the turkey's going, because nobody really likes turkey like that. We've established that earlier. But do you like these yams that much? Because if you lean in too hard, they're going to make those yams to make you feel welcome in the family and all that kind of stuff. How often do you want to be eating those yams? Now it's 4th of July. Oh, there's some yams in there for you. Like, how much do you like those yams for real, for real?
I had a situation like that with beer. This one member believes I love. Here's the problem. It's been so many times that I haven't mentioned it yet.
Too late.
I'm stuck.
Too late.
So that beer is like, hey, Broads. And I'm like, oh, damn it. Hey.
Here it goes again.
Here it is.
That's the tough thing when you're doing, when you're blaming the family. But you can't. And if something's bad, you can't. Now, every family has the fringe person where even, but you don't know when you're first there, we know my brother's going to say something crazy. Like, my sister and I, like, man, Terrence's going to say something a little crazy.
I just never say anything crazy around me.
Yeah, not yet. So we kind of know. And then there's people who, like, all right, their food, like, they brought it out of obligation, but we don't really have to eat that. You don't know that when you first start, and they're not going to tell you that. You have to only learn that via experience. Like, oh, that aunt, yeah, that, They don't even like their aunt like that to be worried about that food. So that's a food filter. You don't have to worry about hurting anybody. Boom, that's gone.
Right.
So if you don't want the roast beef, for example, that day because you think it's too dry, you don't have to eat it. Nobody will care because they don't like it either. But on that first day, you don't know that first Thanksgiving.
You don't know.
You don't know. Mm-mm. So everybody out there that's having the first Thanksgiving with somebody, especially since we had COVID and all this stuff, you might be with this particular person for 3 years and not know the family like that because of the situation. This could be your first Thanksgiving. But this is an established relationship where you can't afford to blow this. You got to be careful. You have to be no higher than a 7 and no lower than a 5.
That's a great place to be, though. Yep. That's good. That's
right
smart.
In there.
Yep, that's
yeah,
smart.
Or else you're going to get stuck with those yams for the next 30 years.
Yeah, like,
yams and beer.
You were just being nice, and now you got to eat those yams Labor Day,
that's right.
Memorial Day. Like,
more yams.
I don't want any. Who's going to eat all these yams? Oh, don't worry. Bros loves them. You got a big old thing of
how
yams.
How many times have you heard that, though? Oh, don't worry. So-and-so loves them. Uh-huh. I made them especially for
and now I'm starting
so-and-so.
To think, like, hold on a second. Uh-huh. Maybe Aunt Dabby doesn't like the yams.
Uh-huh. Like, you just wonder sometimes. It's like, ugh.
Now, everybody on Thursday is going to hear that from somebody, some member of the family. Oh, don't worry. So-and-so loves them. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a little giggle to themselves.
And then one more question before we talk to Tom. Who's crazier? Like the uncle that might say something inappropriate or the psychopath that's going to be able to stay awake for all the football games? Because I don't believe there's any American that wanted that night game on Thanksgiving.
No.
If you can stay up from all the games, from that noon game all the way through that night game, you're a psycho. So who's crazier? The crazy uncle that's going to be talking about politics that you don't want to hear, or the psycho who can make it through that night game after being awake for the noon game?
But do you get to nap at all at the 4 o'clock, or are you talking straight through?
No, straight through.
Doesn't fall asleep for any other football. It's so into it. They watch the noon, they go right into the 3-something, and then right into the night game with no nap.
I actually think that might be physically impossible after all the beverages and food.
Yeah.
I think there's no way that can be done.
Well, the tryptophan from the turkey and maybe a glass of red wine.
They skipped the turkey because they had good taste.
Right to sleep. Oh, okay. All right. I personally...
Who's crazier?
I think the football watching person is crazier because I live for the uncle that's going to say something inappropriate. Live for it. I'm going to sit in the corner with my little beverage and laugh.
Who's crazier?
The crazy person who's staying up through the 3 games. I mean, you're battling. You're like, you don't want to be up right now. There's no way. You're just trying to prove a point, and you look stupid.
I've fallen asleep during the noon game before.
Oh, same. Absolutely.
Make it all the way through that night game.
And isn't the night game an hour early? Is it 7:20?
No, it's 8:20.
Is it 8:20?
12:30, 4:30, 8:20, according to...
Yeah, no way.
You gotta be...
Happening.
If you tell me you watched every snap of all 3 games, I know you're fitted for a straight jacket.
Liar.
610-632-0975. I'm sorry, Tom. I will definitely get to you on the other side along with Mark, and we'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Five, The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. Let's get our final Twitter poll numbers with Jen Squirtle. We have two today.
We do have two today. Number one, who scares you the most in the NFC? 4%, the Vikings. Mm-hmm. 7%, Tom Brady. 43% the Cowboys and 46% the 49ers.
The 49ers, I understand. Well-coached team. Dallas, I do not. And the disrespect of Tom Brady, I talk about ruin the day because I never want to ruin. Nope. In fact, that's my issue with gravy.
Gravy.
You got to make a roux.
You do have to make a roux.
You can't make a gravy without a roux.
That's right.
You need a roux, and I don't like to roux.
That's true.
But we could rue the day that Tom Brady, you can't, not a team wouldn't, but you don't want to disrespect that Tom Brady only because somebody has to win that terrible division.
They're 5-5.
And somebody's going to win that terrible, somebody, Carolina, someone's going to win that division. And we don't want it to be the Saints because that hurts the Eagles draft pick.
Correct.
So we kind of need the Buccaneers to win that division.
The Falcons are 5-6 and the Bucs are 5-5. The Saints are 4-7. So maybe it could be the Falcons that do it.
It could be the Falcons and that team, but who do you trust more at quarterback?
Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom Brady. That's why I don't
That's why I think over the long haul, I still think they're going to win that. It's a terrible division. They wouldn't win the NFC East.
No
but
way.
In that division, I still think the Bucs are going to eventually win that division, which would put them in line for possibly as the lowest seed remaining or something to play the Eagles in a situation. And I can tell you, I'm not in love with playing Tom Brady.
Don't count him out to then make a crazy run.
Right.
Just sneak in and make a crazy run because he is Tom Brady.
Right. He got all that divorce power now.
And kind of like when you have a kid, you got the baby, the dad power.
Yeah, he's sitting there. He's going to prove her wrong.
Yeah.
You're going to be all on TV talking about where you're going. Not South America.
What'd you say early in the show? The best revenge is
just going
living
out
your
there,
best life.
Just doing his thing.
Do his thing. Man, yeah, don't ever count him out.
He walks by on his way out, and he intensely just does like a very long wink right near a blonde, attractive girl that happens to be at the Super Bowl in Arizona. He doesn't even know her. But then she's looking, and she sees, who's that such and such, such and such, as he leaves with another Lombardi trophy. Like, that's the nightmare.
Yeah, that is the nightmare.
That's the nightmare. Well, for us, it's a dream for him.
Well, apparently Giselle has been hanging out with another dude already.
Yeah, she's already got herself in the van.
So that's why he needs to have a blonde showing on not some random, though. Someone he knows who he put on the sidelines in a Brady J. No?
Not
that's too petty.
I think it's too petty because he got kids and stuff.
Oh, well, sorry that she's allowed to do whatever she wants.
I don't think that's too petty. And I'm surprised by you, Tyrone. I don't think that's too petty at all. Do it, Tom Brady.
I think it would be too petty to do it. To put in all your business in the street. That's what been his problem the last couple times.
It's going to be in the street with them. It's going to be. They're never going to be able to keep something a secret, right? Between their relationship.
I think they could.
Really?
You keep him a little bit quieter than her. She's just trying to show off during the season. You know what? I hate to say it. You know the way she acts? She's a bit of an insister, too.
You don't like her.
She's a bit of an insister. She insists upon herself quite a bit.
But is that the nature of the beast at that ranking?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't think I'll ever get there.
Her Brazilian,
I'll let you know. I expect to get there,
To the Giselle level?
I expect to get there.
I root for you.
I root for you, too.
I'll tell you what. I'm upset it hasn't already happened. Like, I'm like, you know, so
I'm surprised it hasn't already happened.
What am I not doing
right?
Like, all right, what are we waiting on?
The second Twitter poll.
Yes.
Just quickly, are you a fan of the Eagles' all-black uniforms? 84% say heck yes.
All right, and we will see them unveiled with the black helmets for the first time on Sunday against the Packers. Let's go back to the foes. Tom and Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, y'all.
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to my Sixers point, in this season of Thanksgiving, I truly would like to thank the best show ever for providing us all with entertainment every day, and it's well appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, again, before my point, though, a cup of Joe, which was argued the other day, and I've heard the story about the captain. That is not the real derivation. The real derivation, as every Steinbeck fan knows, is that it used to be people referred to a cup of Java before Colombia became the number one importer of coffee. And a cup of Joe became short for a cup of Java. And you can find that in just about any Steinbeck novel, or you could Google it.
All right. Well, this cup of Joe I got right now is delicious.
So
okay.
So that's the real story. All right.
That's the story. And the only reason to watch the Sixers tonight, I really feel bad that they're so undermanned.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason to watch them is to see what reception Ben Simmons gets from the fans. And I'm not a person, quite frankly, who boos athletes for the most part. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be interested in seeing what the reaction is to the fans. I keep my booing basically for bad calls by the officials against my team.
Right. Yeah, I'm not really a player booer either, unless they do more if they have to do something off the field, to be honest with you.
That's right.
I would boo Kyrie, but not because of Kyrie the basketball player, because I don't like Kyrie the human. But I hear what you're saying, Tom. I appreciate the information, and you have a good holiday, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
That was Tom in Philly. I kind of wanted the Marine story to be true, like on the boat and stuff.
I've heard so many things. I've heard the boat one before, too, so I don't know what's real.
Yeah, and I've heard the Java one before, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, how we get from Java to Joe?
I think it just evolved into Joe instead
Lazy?
Of Java. Maybe, yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean, that's how language evolved, right?
Imagine you're Java Smith, and they were talking about you for years, and all of a sudden they start referring to you as Joe.
It's a good point.
I would have a real problem with that if I'm Java.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to do more research.
Well, apparently, though, you probably can find all of them now.
I know.
We could just call it coffee.
I like that.
And remove.
See, now this one has all three. It has the Java, it says the boat, and it has mine, which is it's the common man drink, and Joe is a common name. So literally all three are in this blog post and this information thing. So.
See, I don't care for that at all.
So all three can go.
No, yeah, so they all go away. And we come up with a new name for it called coffee.
Oh, maybe. No, he said he was saving his booze for the refs. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yes.
The refs have a hard job, Tyrone.
No, they don't.
They have a hard job.
No, they don't.
That's what they told me.
That's not true!
And then these fools will go out there and say it. And then, right after that, criticize the player. Like, that job's not tough. Like, they find the player who's trying to make a tackle. Like, he face masked, got her. But he's trying to make a tackle. And along the way, you accidentally grab the face mask. But the player is trying to tackle a 260-pound moving target and accidentally grabs a face mask, and he got fined. But this referee standing there watching it got nothing for missing the call because they have the hard job. Oh, yeah, ref? How about you have to tackle Dallas Goedert? And then tell me how hard your job is.
Now that would be good. Now, if you miss a call, you now have to go one on one with one of the players that was in that predicament.
And it'd be worse here,
yikes!
Because this guy has to let it fester for weeks because Goddard's hurt.
Wasn't there a commercial that was? I forget exactly what it was for. It was like car insurance or something where there was a professional athlete who chased after the guy and they had to tackle. He couldn't get out of the house or something. That's just what I saw in my head with the ref and Dallas Goedert.
Wait, Tom, so you're saying now at this point, this ref has to sleep on it every day and think about it.
For 4 to 6 weeks.
Until Goddard's back.
In full pads. Ref, sure, you can put pads on like the player did. But since your job is so hard. And they're finding the guy who's making the tackle. Well, again, face mask should have been called, but I don't think he grabbed the face mask on purpose. I think he's trying to get down and get the ball from a 260-pound wrecking machine.
Right.
That part not hard. You looking at it and dropping a flag on the ground, oh, my goodness, how hard is that? That's what I mean when they keep talking about, because in the next sentence, they'll call somebody above. Like, they're going to say the refs are terrible or have a hard job tonight. Fievel's going to miss a corner three, and they're going to talk about, meanwhile, can the ref make the corner three with defense against him in a live NBA game? You know he can't, but that's the part that's hard. Somebody's going to get dunked on, and he's going to be like, man, you got to have better defensive rotation. That's not hard. Calling the foul is the hard part. I'm telling you, every sports analyst that says that is doing the fans and, frankly, this country a grave disservice.
Jen? Mission accomplished.
Yeah?
I got what I wanted.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Just teed you up a little bit.
I can't stand them. Ooh, that job's so hard. No, it's not. It's not that hard a job.
It's that or it's just wear clothes.
That's it.
Just wear clothes.
Yes. It's a blackout. It's a blackout on Saturday. If you have a White Eagles jersey, just wear clothes on Sunday.
Right. If your only jersey is white.
Yep. If your only jersey is in black. If it's green, just wear clothes. Just wear black clothes. I know you own black clothes. Don't go, it's the only jersey. No. It's a blackout. If you don't have a black jersey, here's what you do. wear clothes. That's always an option. Mark, as we go back to the phone, Mark in Pittsburgh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, brother?
Hello, listen, Mark.
Three things real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the crazy uncle.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Number two, collard greens. You ever had them?
Say that one more time.
No.
Collard greens.
No. Keep going there.
Okay. And macaroni and cheese, I love it. Jen, if I was on the beach in front of you and you walked by, I wouldn't be naked.
I kind of knew where that was going when he went collard greens.
Okay. I actually didn't hear him, so that wasn't like me not.
No. Okay. I was going to see if where else he was going to go. It went different than I thought, but it's about as well.
Okay.
So now Dylan asked this question, which is who is tying me in knots already. Can you wear a black Rasul Douglas jersey?
Now, here's my problem with it. If they weren't playing the Packers and that was your only black jersey, it's a violation, but I could understand it. You can't wear it if you're playing Rasul Douglas.
You were okay with the clothes jersey.
Well, that's
so
different.
It's kind of.
Well, what's an icon? Is Rasul Douglas an icon? If so, that means Howie Roseman deserves a lot of credit because he drafted that icon.
Yeah, he's been on 77 teams. No.
He made a nice career for himself in Green Bay.
Finally.
Though. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, after Carolina.
That's because Howie saw something in him.
Why'd it take force?
Well, you know,
that's a good point, though.
What's that?
Douglas has a ring.
Oh,
Giroux, Claude doesn't.
Oh, God.
That's a good point.
Rasul Douglas.
He has a ring.
Rasul Douglas?
No. I will. Okay. Who are the worst offenders? As we're being thankful for all the fans out there, who are the worst offenders of the four major sports of wearing not the throwback jersey that's intentional, just the old jersey? Of the four fan bases, who's the one who most likely is to wear just the old jersey? Not, I bought a Reggie White throwback. No. Just, I had this jersey since Reggie White played here.
Between Eagles and Flyers for sure.
Yes. Sixers exactly. Fans, for the most part, are pretty good. And when they wear them, it's like irony, like the Evan Turner jerseys.
Well, I don't know. Are Sixers jerseys cheaper than Flyers and
Flyers
are probably
cheap.
Pretty expensive.
The Authentics are still expensive even in basketball, but they're cheaper than the Flyers sweaters.
Okay.
But as we talked about, they're not so expensive to wear if you can afford tickets, you can't buy them.
Agreed.
They're expensive for the fan who's like at the bar who can't afford. If you can afford Flyers tickets, you can afford a new jersey.
I don't know who it is between the Eagles and the Flyers. See, the Flyers' old-school fandom we hate because they're problems.
No. If they were wearing a Bill Barber jersey and a Clarkie jersey, fine. Man, I'm seeing Pat Falloon. No. I'm not seeing from the glory days.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe this is a flaw of my part.
Brenda Moore's, I still see in there from 20 years ago.
If I see a Bobby Clark, I'm like, we got to turn the page.
Well, what about a Brenda Moore? That's over 20 years. He's been gone for 20 years.
You got to turn the page from all. If you're wearing a Lindros, I'm like, what are we doing?
20 years is a long time.
20 years is a long time.
But if it's the Eagles, if it's an old Cunningham, or if it's an emotion towards it that way.
But I feel like more of the Eagles jerseys like that are intentional throwbacks.
You are correct.
Where there's some sort of patch that shows, I haven't been wearing this since 1988. This is what I bought in 2018.
Well, then the answer is probably Flyers. But that pisses me off because that's the issue with this franchise and the fan base.
It's a good point because we talked about the Sixers, obviously, today. Phillies are not in season, but Jen has been updating during the update about the Dombrowski extension. The Flyers, there's not a lot there.
I hate them.
There's not a lot there.
Hate them.
All right. Well, it is now time for us to get to our question of the day.
This is the question of the day. Let's go to the answering machine.
610-771-9705 is the number for future reference. 610-771-9705. The question of the day today was what, Jen?
What is your favorite Thanksgiving side and your least favorite Thanksgiving side?
I am very, very, I'm anticipating what the people are going to say here because I have no idea. Let's see.
The best side dish at Thanksgiving is clearly baked macaroni and cheese. Baked macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
The worst side dish is that useless, worthless stuffing.
Boo this man!
It serves absolutely no person. Stuffing is too crazy.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that fire from Dylan. That wasn't me. I didn't touch a button.
That was
wasn't
Dylan.
Me. That was Dylan.
All Dylan. Nice job.
I've never heard someone not like stuffing that much. Even if you don't love it, I never. That's the first person I've heard who hates.
It's never at the bottom.
Yeah, stuffing is in the middle at least.
There's nothing to hate about it.
That was new for me. I agree about the mac and cheese.
Least favorite side dish, peas and corn, and my favorite is some stuffing. Have a good Thanksgiving, guys.
How about that?
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm back to back. Now, that's what I will say. The bowl of corn or those bowl of peas, because the stuff's warming. Then by the time they go with the pass or whatever, and the peas, you know.
Yeah, but corn's a meat. You load that up with butter? Come on.
Yes,
now.
I will sometimes have a little mixture of my corn with the mashed potatoes.
Oh, I like that.
We're already in the butter realm.
Yeah.
So you're already
a butter. I do that with peas. I like peas and mashed potatoes.
The peas to me don't work as well as the corn.
I can see that.
Not quite as well. I don't hate the peas, but yeah.
The best side is the green bean casserole. The worst side is anything my grandmother makes. And also, why are we eating at 2 o'clock? We're like, why is this a thing?
I agree with that. The early dinner.
I love that. It.
You're doing it early dinner.
Well, that's because I had to.
Right.
I love the early dinner.
Not two, though. I prefer maybe four. Is four fair? Is that a fair time?
Yeah, four is fine.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
I like two.
Why?
Two? Because you eat a little bit, you watch some football, you drink some beers, and then, like, you know, it's still early enough at, like, seven to dig back in for dinner, too.
Oh, I still do. Yeah, you got to do two dinners.
Yeah.
I do agree with that part. You do have to do two dinners.
This is easy. Mashed potatoes is the best. The least is cranberry sauce or, God forbid, rutabagas.
What is that?
Oh, I love a rutabaga.
What is it?
It's a long, stocky vegetable that is, it can be cooked savory or sweet. Like rutabaga pie. You ever have rutabaga pie?
Heard of it. Don't know what it is.
I like it.
Rutabaga?
Very easy to grow, too, yeah.
You grow rutabaga?
I have before, yeah.
Okay.
My favorite is the yams, the sweetened yams. I hate and could not ever stand the marshmallow ambrosia.
Oh, ambrosia.
Ambrosia.
Gross.
I can't stand that ambrosia.
My mom loves it. So gross.
My mom couldn't stand it. My grandmom used to make it, and it would be there all the time.
Gross.
And I'm like, this is not, are we sure? Are we 100% sure it's edible?
I don't.
Are we 100%?
Do you know what it is?
Sure?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's so gross.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Fruit marshmallows and like mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Also, yams is number one. A couple people say yams is number one.
Nah.
Mm-mm. I mean, what is that? What has the yam done to deserve being number one?
My least favorite is stuffing. I cannot stand it. Ugh. My most favorite dish is baked macaroni, especially when my mom makes it. Yum, yum, yum.
Can't
yum,
argue
yum,
with
yum.
Macaroni got the most votes, it seems like.
It does sound like it, yeah.
All right, well, Jed, enjoy your holiday.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. Yes. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Dylan and thanks to Booty on the TV side, Birds Huddle on radio, Inside the Birds, and the Sixers are on national TV, but the game will be on here on the radio, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.